Hi, I'm Joe Flynn. For a great deal on tires, just drive in any Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Or you can just call us.
Remember, Flynn's does more than just tires. From brakes and mufflers to scheduled maintenance and general repairs, Flynn's does it all. Go to FlynnsTire.com for money-saving coupons.
For dependable tires and expert service, go to Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Visit FlynnsTire.com to request an appointment.
And tell them Finney sent you.
These teams is good, solid offensive line play. Their defense has always been a hard-hitting defense.
This is Blitz Live. Blitz Live.
It is week 8 of the high school football season in the Valley. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service, Dom Joseph, Greg Goulis, and Champ Summers. All right back in action, ready to go for week 8.
4/5 of this season is over with.
I can't believe how quick it's going, but we're ready to go here. We got a lot of good games tonight, so we're going to get right into it. We have 4 teams still unbeaten, 2 are still winless, and guys, we have 16 area schools currently in the top 8 in the computer, Champ, as you mentioned. We have 15 all-local matchups out of the 25 games that there are tonight, so we're going to get right into it here. Our first matchup of the night, the Austintown Fitch Falcons and the Erie McDowell Trojans.
Well, the Falcons almost should play every game on the road this year, Dom. Fitch is 5-2. They started off 3-0. They've split their last 4 games, but they're 3-1 on the road, more importantly. They're coming off that 49-6 win against Ashtabula Lakeside last week. Erie McDowell, this is the second team from Erie they're playing this year. They've also split their last 4 games. They won on the road last week at Cathedral Prep, 45-6. They're 2-2 at home. Fitch goes in a 14-point favorite, Champ.
Yeah, Fitch 5-2. Fitch, they're one of 9 area schools that have remained in the top 8 in the computer since week 3. The other 8 are Bourbon, Canfield, Poland, Hubbard, LaBrae, Southern Valley Christian, and Latonia. Falcons need 2 more victories to virtually assure themselves a postseason game, and they have home games with Bourbon and Mooney left. Fitch needs a victory tonight with Division 1 caliber Erie McDowell, and to avoid the situation of having to beat both Bourbon and Mooney to play in week 11. So they'd like to get a victory tonight.
Absolutely.
So they don't have to win both those games.
There's a lot on the line tonight for the Fitch Falcons.
Oh, he's good. He's good.
Yes, he is. Absolutely. Very good at what he does. Next up, the Brookfield Warriors with a true test tonight against the undefeated LaBrae Vikings.
Well, I just think it's a matter of who's going to stop LaBrae on any series this game. Brookfield's 1-6. They're a member of the AAC Blue Tier. They're looking to break a 4-game tailspin. They lost to Girard last week 43-7. Their only win this year came in week number 3 against Cuyahoga Heights 46-17. They've scored 151 points. They've given up 293. They've only scored 34 points in the AAC. Now, LaBrae, on the other hand, 4-0 at home. They're 7-0 undefeated. They're averaging 48.4 points for their winning margin, Dom. They've won by 41, 41, 36, 73, 55, 36, and 57. It'll be a moral victory if they hold them under 40, because no team has ever done that. They've only allowed 54 points all year.
You know, they're first in the region right now on their computer, the only team that is, and they've just annihilated their opponents. And the average score has been 56-8. Now, since the start of the blue tier, the Vikings have an 18-4 conference mark, so they've done very well there. But, you know, we forget that from 1972 to 2007, LaBrae had only one playoff appearance. That was 1983. While their postseason this year would be their 5th in the last 11 years, 1-6 Brookfield has won 4 of the last 5, though, against LaBrae.
LaBrae is a 24-point favorite, by the way.
Well, there you go. All right, next up, the Buckeye Local Panthers and the East Liverpool Potters.
Now, these are 2 teams trekking in different directions. Buckeye Locals has lost 7 straight. They're 0-3 on the road. They're 24th out of 26 teams in Division 5, Region 9. East Liverpool, on the other hand, is 4-3. They beat Richmond Edison last week 42-20 on the road. They've won 3 of 4, and they're 2-1 at home this week right now, or this year. They're a 29-point favorite, East Liverpool.
You know, 4-3 is Liverpool. After week 3, their record was 1-2, and they were 16th in the computer. Well, since then, the Potters are 3-1. They moved from to number 6 in the very crowded field of area schools in the top half of the Region 13 computer. It's been a great finish for this, and this is currently how it's worked right now. Hubbard's 3rd, Poland's 4th, East Liverpool 6th, Struthers is 5th, East is 7th, Salem is 10th, Girard is 12th, and Mooney is 14th. So 8 of the top 14 are Valley schools. Win the last 3 games, the Potters are in postseason. Now, 6-4 record has possibilities. Unfortunately, only 4.5 points are available with a Liverpool victory tonight versus the Panthers. Buckeye Local, they've lost 39 consecutive games, too.
Wow.
Ugly.
Wow. All right, next up, we have the Canfield Cardinals and the East Golden Bears. Tough one tonight.
This is an All-American Conference red-tier game, and the funny part about it is Canfield is 7-0, but they're only 1-0 in the conference. East is 5-2. They're 3-0 in the conference. East is atop the red tier right now. Now, Canfield, this is their second consecutive road game. Last week, they defeated Niles McKinley 35-0. They're 4-0 on the road. They have three shutouts this year, and they've only allowed 61 total points, an average of 8.7 a game. Now, East, on the other hand, they have a two-game win streak. They beat Holland last week 42-10 on the road. 2 weeks ago, they beat Poland. If you recall, they shut them out 10-0 on the heels of that Struthers upset the week before. They've outscored opponents 52-10 in those two games over the last 2 weeks. They've outscored opponents 154-80, yet Canfield is a 15-point favorite heading into the game.
You know, unbeaten Canfield and 5-2 East have a combined level one points of 66. That's the highest of any matchup in the area this weekend. So in terms of that, this is a great matchup. The Cardinals are still on an 18-game regular season win streak. One more Canfield victory will assure them a home game in Week 11. You know, East went south when they went from Division 2 to Division 4. Now the Golden Bears are heading north in the computer. Their win over Poland gave them the biggest increase in the area in level 2 points. They went from 10 to 46.5, which is an increase of 36.5. Amazing. Two more wins pretty much secures a playoff spot for East. They got a tough schedule, though.
Now, imagine if they were playing south this week and not Canfield.
Yeah, it'd be ugly.
All right, yep. Canfield is undefeated coming into this game. East has all the momentum on their side, looking to keep it up. Brian Zenas is on location. He's got more for us. Let's hear it.
I'm Brian Zenas of Vinny Blitz in the historic north side of Youngstown, where 5-2 East is hosting 7-0 Canfield. East, in about a span of a weekend, has, you know, emerged as, you know, the most dangerous team in the Mahoning Valley after shutting out Poland 10-0 last week. They haven't allowed more than 13 points since week one of the season. So the Golden Bears have been doing quite good in a pretty busy year for Youngstown City Schools. Right now they're trying to bring Cheney back into the fold with all of its sports. And there was something that basically I would sum up as a lot of nonsense, but the team got moved from D2 to D4. They find themselves, you know, back in the thick of things as far as, you know, the playoff picture is concerned. Had a few issues with a couple kids being eligible, but, you know, thankfully the OHSAA came to its senses and, you know, let those players play again. And they're facing a Canfield team that's, you know, done pretty well for itself, and that 7-0 that they have isn't a joke. Of the seven wins that they have, five of those have come against teams with winning records, and they haven't lost a regular season game since 2016. The Cardinals are a machine, and, you know, things just keep rolling. They lose quarterback Vinny Fiorenzo to graduation. Hello, Max Dawson. Paul Brenz, he graduates. Now there's Nick Crawford running the ball. David Crawford, Nick's older brother, you know, he's now wrestling at Pitt. And who do they find to slide into his linebacker spot? They bring up Tyler Stein, who's an Ohio State commit for wrestling, up from D-line to linebacker. So Canfield's going to look to keep things rolling here. I can't really think of a reason, or can't think of a weakness for them, really. And it should be a pretty good game tonight and see, you know, how far, you know, East defense, you know, can take it against, you know, a solid Canfield squad. Reporting from Rain Stadium, this is Brian Zenas, Vindy Blitz.
Thank you very much, Brian, and sure to be a good one tonight, Arayan.
Well, he said something in there that I really, really agree with. The OHSAA came to their senses by letting those kids play and finish
absolutely
out the season.
I would agree.
That's the absolute right thing to do.
One thing, too, I learned by that report is I know that it's tough to play them in football, but I wouldn't want to play them in a wrestling match either. So.
Exactly. All right.
Yeah,
they got it going.
Earlier than you did to do his notes.
I better get my resume together, huh?
Right.
That might be a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm right on your heels, too.
Yeah.
All right, on to our next matchup, and this is a good one, too. The Cardinal Mooney Cardinals go to Mollenkopf to take on the Warren G. Harding Raiders.
Well, you know, after Cardinal Mooney started the season with six straight home games, this is the second of four games to end the season on the road. They lost to Louisville last week 31-21, but the key stat here is in three wins, they've outscored opponents 116-46. In four losses, they've been outscored 109-47. Harding, on the other hand, after looking bad in week one against Canton McKinley and then week three against Massillon, Washington, they've already outscored opponents 229-122. So after a 1-2 start, they've put up four straight wins. They beat Boardman on the road last week 17-14, and the field goal kicker decided the game, as we've talked about throughout the year. They've outscored opponents 154-43 in those four straight wins. Their two losses, again, to Canton McKinley and Massillon. Both teams are 7-0 heading into play tonight. Warren Harding, no shock here at Mollenkopf. They're a 14-point favorite, champ.
Yeah, I think the lesson here is that don't judge a team by how they do in the first three or four games. For the second time in 3 years, 5-2 Harding is champion of the AAC gold tier. And you talked about their two defeats. We thought, boy, they weren't going anywhere this year. But since that week three loss to Maslin, Harding has moved from 13th to 5th in the computer. Now, keep in mind that 52 of their 68 total points on the level two level have come from wins over Fitch and Boardman. So they're huge wins, mm-hmm. and that's one of the reasons why they got a good chance to make the playoffs. One more win, they should make the playoffs. A 3-0 finish will give them a chance for a home game. Now, to the total opposite is Mooney. Mooney is 3-4. Since week three, they've gone from 5th to 14th in their Region 13 computer. After Harding, the Cardinals finished the road games versus Ursuline and Fitch. A 6-4 record will get them in postseason. A 5-5 mark would get them in with wins against Harding and Fitch, and that could also extend their season. But right now, Mooney is really under the gun. Unlike last year, they're not playing with the confidence to finish
right.
the year.
Yeah, so this is Warren Harding just playing with the momentum they've got, and Cardinal Mooney playing with their backs against the wall.
Mooney needs this game much more than Harding does.
Absolutely.
So that could, be a factor.
Absolutely. All right, next up we have the one win. Champion Golden Flash is taking on the winless Camel Memorial Red Devils. Greg, is this the night Camel gets it done?
I don't think so. Being a Camel Memorial grad, I would hope so. In fact, a little bit later on, we're going to talk about the Hall of Fame that I attended that ceremony yesterday. But champions 1-6, and they've got a great coach in Tim McGlynn. You know, that 1-6 record is not indicative of the way he coaches. They lost to Liberty 45-7 last week after getting their first win of the season the previous week, 34-14 against Newton Falls. They've been shut out once and failed to post double-digit scoring in three other games. So they have a hard time putting the points on the board. That's not going to matter because Camel can't stop anybody. Camel lost to Struthers at home last week in the 90th renewal of the series, 41-0 in the Steel Helmet Trophy. They've been shut out three times. They've only scored in double figures once, 37, in that 48-37 loss to East Palestine in week number three. They've given up 313 points. They've only scored 57. They've only scored 13 in AAC play. Champions only a one-point favorite. It could be worse than that. I'd like to see a really good ball game. I'd like to see them both put some points on the board, and at the same time, I'd like to see them stalk each other. I don't know what's going to happen, champ. I really don't.
So you're really confident on a Campbell victory tonight?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, 1-6 champion, the Golden Flash, and 0-6 Campbell Red Devils have had trouble establishing any kind of identity on both sides of the ball. We don't know who these teams are. You might as well change the names to protect the innocent. Let's call them the Golden Devils versus the Red Flashes. Campbell's last postseason appearance was 2010. They've only had four winless seasons since 1944, 73, 74, 75, and 2006. Champions' last playoff trip was 1994. Bill Belichick was head coach of the Browns, and Jacob Field, Progressive Field, opened for the Cleveland Indians. So it's been a tough year, and if this is the NFL, this would probably be the game to determine who has the second pick of the draft after Sebring.
Did you take Dr. James Baker for management?
No.
I was going to say, Belichick and Cleveland, those are some good times.
Well, yeah, that was a long time ago.
He was Nick Skelton's coach.
How'd that work out, by the way?
Right, exactly.
Fired Belichick.
Yeah, we had Belichick, we had Saban, we had everybody.
Yeah.
Didn't work out for
we
us.
We got rid of him.
Yep, it didn't work. All right, next up, East Palestine Bulldogs and the Toronto Red Knights.
Well, I think East Palestine, if they look back, the Potters would tell you that 3-4 right now, that's a little bit disappointing. They've split their last four games. They beat Latonia for 43-0 last week, but they're 0-3 on the road. Three of their wins have come at home, 3-1 at home. They're home against Lisbon next week. Toronto, on the other hand, is a 3-4 ball club as well. They started out 1-3, but they're 2-1 since. They shut out Lisbon last week on the road 19-0. In their three wins, they've outscored opponents 83-14, with two of those shutouts both coming on the road. East Palestine is a two-point favorite.
You know, 3-4 East Palestine will not make the playoffs for the third time in four seasons. The Bulldogs can still finish, though, with a winning record. Also, they were able to continue the streak of scoring 10-plus points. It has now reached 38 in a row, which is sixth best in the state. 3-4 Toronto is eighth in the computer in that Division 7, Region 25. They have two shutout wins and two shutout losses. East Palestine a year ago beat them 64-20.
Wow. All right, well, we'll see what happens tonight in that matchup. Next up, the Indian Creek Redskins and the Beaver Local Beavers.
Well, Indian Creek, as you know, is a member of the Buckeye 8 Conference. They're 5-2 overall, but 5-1 in conference play, so all but one of their games this year have been in Buckeye 8 play. They've won two in a row and 3 of 4. They beat Martins Ferry on the road last week, 22-0. They're 3-1 on the road. Beaver Local, on the other hand, beat Buckeye Local 33-8 last week to end the three-game skid. They're 2-2 at home and 3-4 overall.
You know, 3-4 Beaver Local, this will be no postseason for the 13th consecutive season, so they're in a major slump there. They have a bizarre stat, though, for the Beavers. During the season, when they score only 7 points in the game, they're 0-4. When they score other than 7, they're 3-0. So the Redskins of Indian Creek are ninth in the loaded Region 13 computer. Redskins have won the last four versus the Beavers. Keep in mind, though, that a lot of local teams in that Region 13 will be rooting for the Redskins to upset, not upset, but beat the Beavers.
Right.
Or the Beavers to beat the Redskins in upset.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, next up, the Kent Roosevelt Rough Riders taking on the Crestview Rebels.
Well, the Rough Riders are 2-5 right now. They started the season 2-1, but they're 0-4 since. They're 1-3 on the road coming off a 38-0 loss at Revere last week. Now, Crestview, on the other hand, is 4-2. They beat Magnolia last week 36-21. They've won two straight since they had that scrimmage with East High School, or Cheney, I should say. All four wins have come at home, with both losses coming on the road. They've outscored opponents 226-180, and I think that 180 number really concerns Paul Cusick because they better play some defense tonight. But they're 4-2 and a four-point favorite heading into tonight's game.
Yeah, this would be a great Western movie, The Rebels versus the Rough Riders, but the Rough Riders haven't been that tough, apparently. 4-2 Crestview's won three in a row. They moved up 10 slots in the computer from 16th to 6th during that streak. One more victory will punch their playoff ticket. That would be their 13th postseason appearance in the last 15 seasons. 2-5 Kent Roosevelt, if they win out, probably will play in Week 11. The Rough Riders are in the Division II Region 5, same as Harding and Boardman. A Rebel win will benefit both the Raiders and the Spartans. So go Rebels.
Exactly. Hopefully the Rebels will get it done tonight.
Yeah.
And again, as you said, punch their ticket to the playoffs. Next up, the Lisbon Blue Devils and the Columbiana Clippers.
Yeah, Lisbon's a team I really can't figure out. Now, they began the season 2-0, but they're 1-4 since. Now, they started the season with a 41-6 and a 41-7 victory, but since that time, they've only scored 39 total points in their last five games. They suffered a 19-0 shutout last week at home to Toronto. They closed the season at East Palestine and then home to United. Columbiana, on the other hand, was not the 0-3. They're probably the best 0-3 team to start
right.
the season. They've won four straight since. They beat Wellsville on the road last week 48-12, just 1-2 at home with losses to Western Reserve in week number one and Springfield Local in week number three, 41-7. Those are two pretty good losses. They do come in a 22-point favorite, but they're 4-0 and tops in the EOAC.
Yeah, and you talked about it. Their season pretty much is defined by those first three games. 4-3 Columbiana, as you say, 0-3 to start the season. That's the main reason why, at this point, they really don't have a scenario to qualify for the playoffs. The losses were to Western Reserve, McDonald, and Springfield. That left currently 74.5 potential level 2 points on the table. Their four wins are against Latonia, United, Toronto, and Wellsville. That only added 49 level 2 points. 3-4 Lisbon, believe it or not, must win at least two more games for a chance at postseason. After tonight, they have at East Palestine and their home to United. So Columbiana has no chance, but Lisbon still has an outside chance to make the playoffs.
Right, so every game counts for those Blue Devils. And based on the statistics here, Columbiana's got them right where they want them.
Yeah, you're right.
So we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. Next up, the Lowellville Rockets and the Jackson Milton Blue Jays.
Well, the Rockets are 3-4, and if they win tonight, this will be the first time they're at 500, 8 games into the season since the 2014 season. They've won three of their last four outings after an 0-3 start. They're 3-1 in the league and tied for second in the Mahoning Valley Athletic Conference. They beat Sebring at home last week 49-0, and in those three wins, they've outscored opponents 103-12. Good defense for the Rockets right there. Jackson Milton, on the other hand, they're fifth in the MVAC. They've been outscored 188-122. They started 0-4, but they're 2-1 since. Both wins this season have come by shutout, 47-0 over Sebring in week 5, 20-0 over Waterloo last week, and they're 1-2 at home. Lowellville goes in a two-point favorite.
A 2-5 Jackson Milton has won 4-5 against the 3-4 Lowellville squad. And after an 0-4 start, the Blue Jays have won two of their last three. As you said, both of those were wins by shutout. 3-4 Lowellville started the season 0-3, but gone 3-1 since. The Rockets haven't had a winning season since 2003.
Wow. All right, next up, the Matthews Mustangs and the Southington Chalker Wildcats.
Well, Matthews is 1-6, and Southington, as we've talked about in the past over the last 5 or 6 weeks, they're a pretty good feel-good story. They're 5-2 right now.
Wow.
Matthews has lost four in a row. Their only win was in week 3 over Sebring at home, 52-0. Last week at Grand Valley, they lost 40-12. They're 0-2 on the road this year. Southington, on the other hand, again, they're one of the feel-good stories this year. They've won 3 out of 4. They won on the road last week at Pimatuning Valley. They're 4-0 at home this year, which was a pretty good start for them. 19-point favorite for Southington over Matthews tonight.
Yeah, two straight victories by 5-2 Southington has actually put them back into the playoff contention. Their problem is that their computer points are just very low for a team that has 5 wins. And then, remember now, last year the Wildcats were 2-8. They're currently 13th in the Region 25 computer. Now, after Matthews, though, they got a tough schedule, which is good. because they need tough schedules. Right. They close with road games at Wyndham and Ashtabula St. John. Two more wins, a 7-3 record will get them a game in Week 11. 6-4 with a victory over either Wyndham or St. John's, and Southington will be on the bubble. They could still make it. So they still have control of their own destiny despite the early wins and not too many computer points. But, boy, they got a tough finish to the season, and that could help.
Absolutely. That Wyndham team is very strong. Yep. Next up, the McDonald Blue Devils and the Sebring McKinley Trojans. And this one's going to be pretty one-sided, but you still, as we mentioned every week, Sebring showing up, and you got to give them credit.
Well, McDonald is 7-0, Sebring 0-7. Now, McDonald's 3-0 on the road. They're on top of the MVAC. They're 4-0 in the league. They've outscored opponents this year 328-90 in league play, 182-34. They're coming off at 48-0 shutout over Mineral Ridge. They've held three of their last five opponents to single-digit scoring. If you go back to last year when they only had two losses and five total points separated them from a perfect season in the playoffs, they've won 15 out of their last 17 games. Now, Sebring, on the other hand, they've been shut out six of their seven games. The only time they weren't shut out was when they played Southington. They have eight total points this year, but they've been outscored 194-0 in league play. Their only points, again, came in a 55-8 loss to Southington in week two. McDonald's a 44-point favorite, and they might cover by halftime.
Well, I'm pretty good at math, and if they get shut out tonight, that'd be their eighth game, scored 8 points, they would be averaging 1 point per game. Correct? Am I right on that? Hopefully,
you're a good mathematician.
Yeah. Anyways, but let's forget about Sebring. Let's talk about unbeaten McDonald's. Unfortunately for them, they're only going to earn 3.5 computer points for level one with a victory over Sebring, because that's all they got to offer. The Blue Devils are currently eighth in the computer. They'll get in the playoffs with a 10-0 record. That's the good news. A 9-1 mark without a win over Western Reserve next week won't be enough for postseason unless certain schools lose. And here's some of the schools the Blue Devils need to lose this weekend. Southern, Steubenville Catholic Central, and Garraway. So it really comes down to next week's game against Reserve. That's a must-win for McDonald. If not 9-1, they might be sitting home.
And the only thing you want this late in the season is to put yourself in position to make your own, pave your own path.
Yep. Right. Another example of a Division VI school that's competing with Division VII schools in that one conference.
And it hurts.
Right, both those lower conferences.
Right. All right, next up, the Newton Falls Tigers are heading into the Girard Indians town.
Well, Newton Falls is 4-3. They started out 3-0, but they're 1-3 since. They've lost 3 out of 4. Their only win was a 29-14 win over Newberry in week number 5, but they're 2-1 on the road. Girard, on the other hand, is a scoring juggernaut. They've outscored opponents 339-90, and ever since that loss to Hubbard, they've won 5 in a row. They've held 4 of their last 5 opponents to single-digit scoring. And in those 5 wins, they've outscored their opponents 259-31. Offensively, listen to what they've done the last 5 games. 47, 45, 56, 68, 43, hike. Girard's a 34-point favorite.
Wow. I'm going to continue the excitement with 6-1 Girard. They've had an impressive season. Their only defeat was to week 2 to unbeaten Hubbard 48-22. In their 6 wins, the Indians have outscored those schools 308-44. And, they're the only local school with wins over teams in 5 different divisions. How about that?
Wow.
Well, they're going to be a fun team to watch in postseason, but there's just one problem. They may not make it. And they are right now 12th in the Region 13 computer. They are one of 2 teams in the entire region, besides Akron-Buchtel, to have more Level 1 points than Level 2 points, which is unheard of this time of the season. Now, how could this happen? Well, their 6 victories are against Niles, JFK, Champion, Jefferson, Campbell, and Brookfield. They have a combined record of 6-36. So their 6 wins have totaled 24.5 level 2 points. On the other hand, Crestview, who has 4 wins, has 60 points. They need to win out, and they do have LeBray and Liberty to finish with. So Girard is an interesting team to watch, because if they can get in the playoffs, they could be dangerous.
Yes,
right.
They can.
That's true. I like the dramatic effect you put in there.
Well, it's been a great year. You hate to see them with this offense.
Exactly.
Quarterback not make the playoffs.
Right. Yep, it would be a shame for sure. Next up, the Poland Seminary Bulldogs and the Lakeview Bulldogs.
Well, 2 weeks ago, we were sitting right here. Poland was 5-0. They've lost 2 games since to Struthers 22-21 in the last 16 seconds. They got shut out by East last week. After those 5 straight wins, I think they have to be looking at what's happening with us offensively, not defensively. They're 3-2 at home, which makes them 2-0 on the road. Lakeview, on the other hand, is 3-4. They started out 1-0, lost 4 in a row, and they've now won 2 straight. Last week, they defeated Ashtabula Edgewood at home 37-8. Really no surprise that Poland is going on the road, and they're a 10-point favorite.
You're right. 2 weeks ago, they were ready to their 11th postseason appearance in the last 12 years. Pretty impressive. But then the back-to-back losses to Struthers and East happened, and now they're 5-2. And their last two games, they play home to Hubbard and at Canfield. So a victory tonight doesn't guarantee anything. They might have to win one of those two remaining games. Schools that Poland needs to lose another game are East Liverpool, Girard, West Branch, and Indian Creek. All of them have tough matchups in Week 9. 3-4 Lakeview scored a total of 48 points in their first five ball games. The last two they've scored 76. They've won the last two versus Poland. So Poland, it's changed dramatically their season in the last couple weeks.
What do you think, Greg? You got the Bulldogs?
I took the Bulldogs.
Yeah, no, good choice. All right, next matchup, Pima Tuning Valley Lakers and the Newberry Black Knights.
Well, this is a battle of cellar dwellers in the Northeastern Athletic Conference. Pi Valley is 1-6, Newberry 0-7. Now, Pi Valley has lost six straight after opening the season with a 36-34 win in overtime at Mineral Ridge. They're 1-2 on the road. Newberry, on the other hand, is 0-3 at home. They lost at Wyndham 33-6 last week on the road. They play host to Grand Valley and Matthews to close out the season. But listen to these numbers. Pi Valley has been outscored 352-78. Newberry, on the other hand, has been outscored 193-52. So while they don't score much, they've only given up a little bit more than half of what Pi Valley has. Shocking, though, Newberry at 0-7 is a two-point favorite coming into the game at home.
Yeah, then I looked at the computer today. I noticed that Pi Valley has that thing that you don't want to see. Mathematically eliminated. They're done. They can't make the playoffs. But you talked about their overtime win against Middle Ridge in week one, 36-34. Since then, they've only scored 42 points. Now, winless Newberry has lost 10 in a row dating back to last year. Their last win actually was October 6, 2017, a 49-7 win over Southington Chalker. The Black Knights are averaging a whopping 7.4 points per contest.
Yeah, that's a good
number. Should be a barn burner tonight.
Yeah, it'll be close. All right, next up, the Salem Quakers and the Minerva Lions.
Well, this is an Eastern Buckeye conference game. Salem is 3-4. They started out 3-0, but they've lost four in a row since. They're coming off a 35-16 home loss to Alliance, and they're 2-1 on the road. Minerva, on the other hand, has been outscored 299-68. They've only scored 19 points in league play. They lost last week to Marlington 49-13. They're 0-3 at home. Four times this year they've scored 13 points in a game. The other 3 weeks, 0, 6, and 7. Salem's a 21-point favorite going on the road at Minerva.
You know, even if 3-4 Salem wins their last three, their playoff chances are very, very slim. Quaker fans should root for West Branch to win their next two contests because they finished at the Warriors. They need a high level 1 point total for them to even come close to getting into the playoffs and improve their odds. Minerva has the third longest current losing streak in the state, 37 in a row, and I don't think if they get like 10 brooms from the Wicked Witch, that's not going to satisfy these cowardly Lions.
Well done. Very well done, champ.
Yep.
Next up, South Range Raiders heading to the Louisville Leopards. Louisville hosting another local team.
Well, and I think you have to go back a long way to find out a Dan Yeagley team coached at South Range who's been outscored seven games into the season, 249-201. That's a 48-point differential. They lost last week to Garfield Heights, only put 9 points on the board, lost 29-9. In three losses, they've been outscored 84-34. They're 1-1 on the road, though. Louisville, on the other hand, started out 0-2, and they're 4-1 since. 4-0 at home. It's their third straight home game. At home, it's their fourth week in a row. Next week, they go to Maslin, who's 7-0. Louisville's a 14-point favorite as South Range has to travel there.
You know, we forget last year South Range went the farthest of any team last year.
Yes.
They went to the state semifinals. They're 4-3 right now, and their next three opponents are Division III Louisville, Division IV St. Clairsville, and West Yaga. They have combined 66.5 potential Level 2 points to grab for South Range with wins. Therefore, the Raiders need to win two of their next three. A 6-4 mark will be good enough to be part of the top eight in Region 17. 7-3 final record should give them a home game in Week 11. So they got pretty much control of their own destiny. 4-3 Louisville trying for their third straight win versus the Valley. They have beaten Ursuline and Mooney in the last 2 weeks.
Well, there you go. All right, next up, we talked about South Range. Let's go to their rival, the Springfield Tigers, taking on the Mineral Ridge Rams.
Springfield is 6-1. Their only loss was to McDonald at home in week number 5, 20-17. They've won two in a row since. They've outscored those last two opponents 86-10, so they're on a mission. They beat Western Reserve on the road last week 30-10. Mineral Ridge, on the other hand, is 1-6. They're 6th in the Mahoning Valley Athletic Conference. They started out 0-5. They've split their last two. After an 8-0 win at Waterloo in week number 6, they then lost to McDonald last week 48-0. Springfield, no shock here. They're a 39-point favorite going into the game on the road.
Now, 6-1 Springfield must win out, and then they need some help to make the playoffs. It's sad the 9-1 record could eventually do that. Tiger fans should follow one game tonight. Huron Heights out of Ontario, they need them to win over Steubenville Catholic Central. That would help them tremendously. They're currently 7th in the Region 21 computer. Tigers won this matchup in 2017, 52-19 over 1-6 Mineral Ridge. Niles, Camel, and Mineral Ridge, only three local schools that have been mathematically eliminated.
There you go.
You get a tear in my eye when you say that.
Yep. Right. Yep. Next up, the Struthers Wildcats and the Hubbard Eagles. This should be a good one.
Well, it should be a good one, and believe it or not, this is for the top place in the AAC white tier. Struthers is 5-2, but they're second to Hubbard with a 3-0 record. Hubbard's 7-0. They're 4-0 in the league. Now, Struthers has won two. They're four of their last five. They beat Camel on the road in the 90th renewal of that series last week, 41-0. Struthers, on the other hand, is 3-1 on the road with that big, big win over to Poland 2 weeks ago. Hubbard, on the other hand, has shut out their last two opponents, 60-0 last week at Jefferson and 37-0 at home in week number six to Niles McKinley. They've only allowed 78 total points this year, but offensively, we talk about a juggernaut. We probably have used that word a little bit too often. It's legit. They're a juggernaut. 63, 48, 62, 48, 42, 37, and 60. They put points up, but they're only a 12-point favorite at home against Struthers. So
wow.
The Struthers found a way to beat Poland. They could find a way to beat Hubbard tonight.
Yeah, we might call this maybe possibly Struthers versus Hubbard number one, because if the playoffs started tonight, this would be the first round Region 13 matchup. 6-seed Struthers at number 3-seed Hubbard. Unbeaten Hubbard has outscored their opponents 360-71. That's an average of 51-10. Eagles probably have enough already to make the playoffs. One more victory will cement that and give them a home game in week 11. 5-2 Struthers needs two more victories for postseason. Good chance that happens because they finished the home games against Edgewood and Lakeview. Now, if the Wildcats want to open the playoffs at home, they need to win out and finish 8-2. Both teams are unbeaten in the white tier. And keep in mind, last night was very good to Struthers because they're the only team that beat both Liberty and Niles, who won last night.
Exactly. Yeah, Niles and Liberty both played last night. Both teams won. We'll get to that later. But Bob Ettinger is standing by at the Struthers-Hubbard game. Let's hear what he has to say.
This is Bob Ettinger from Alumni Field in Hubbard, where the Eagles are set to battle with visiting Struthers. Hubbard comes in third in the Division IV Region 13 playoff race at 7-0. The Wildcats come in at 5-2, ranked number 5. Both teams are undefeated in the All-American Conference white tier, with Hubbard still having a battle with Poland left in the league, and Struthers still has Edgewood and Lakeview on the schedule. Coming up next, kickoff from Alumni Field, where Hubbard hosts Struthers. Back to you in the studio, guys. Have a great show.
Thank you very much, Bob. And again, he's
have
gonna
a great
have,
game, Bob.
Yeah,
he's
have excited. A great game. He's excited. That's gonna be a great game tonight. So, good luck to him and enjoying that matchup.
He's almost as excitable as Andy Hake.
Exactly. Yes.
I think if we sent him that Pie Valley game, he'd still be excited, right?
Right. All right, next up, the United Golden Eagles and the Letonia Bears.
Well, DJ Ogilvie has done a great job this year with the United local team. They're 5-2. They've won two in a row, four out of their last five. They beat Southern Local at home last week, 33-18. And they're 3-0 on the road this year. Letonia, on the other hand, they've been that feel-good story the first 3 weeks. They went 3-0, excuse me, but they're 2-2 at home, but they're 0-4, they've lost four straight since. They lost 43-0 last week at East Palestine. They've been outscored, though, 153-82. United Local is second to Columbiana in the EOAC. No shock here that United Local is a 22-point favorite over Letonia tonight.
Yeah, 5-2 United won their first game against a team with a winning record last week, 33-18, and it was a big win over Southern. However, their playoff chances are pretty much gone. This is another example of a Division VI school in the EOAC or the MBAC that has a very small margin of error. Now, on the other hand, this is the Division VII school that is in those conferences, 3-4 Letonia. They're 7th in Region 25 computer. They've lost 4 in a row. Their post situation is this. The last two games they have are at Wellsville and Southern at home. Two more wins, they're in. and one more victory, which would give them a 4-6 record. If that win is against United or Southern, they're probably going to make it with a 4-6 record. It's a good possibility. Wow. The problem is, though, they just have not been playing well lately. They started the season off well, but the bottom line is that they still have a shot, and they still have control of their own destiny.
Exactly. All right, next up, the Ursuline Fighting Irish coming off that big win last week against Bishop Waterson, heading into Boardman, taking on the Spartans.
Well, Don, your alma mater is 0-5 on the road. That's the only bad part about this. They've split their last two games, and they did win that first game against Waterson last week. Boardman, on the other hand, got off to a 4-1 start. They've lost their last two games, 21-14 at Canfield in week 6, and last week 17-14 at Harding. That game was a lot closer than I actually thought it would be. They're 2-2 at home this year. This is their last game of the year at home. Boardman's a 16-point favorite, but that could be a lot closer than we think.
It's a tough one for me because I'm a Boardman graduate, but I'm also Irish, and I hate to see Dom eat another cake because he put on 2 ounces this week. But anyways, here's my observation. This is unrelated to this game. Since 2015, the former members of the Steel Valley Conference, Harding, Boardman, Fitch, Mooney, and Ursuline, have all played each other every season except Fitch versus Ursuline. Their last meeting was 2007. Why not start the Steel Valley Conference up again next year? Just a thought. But anyways, tonight's game. 4-3 Boardman needs 2 more wins for a playoff spot. The Spartans finish on the road versus Fitch in Lakeside. The Falcon matchup next week will have a lot of computer points available for Boardman with a win. That scenario could give the Spartans a postseason berth with a 5-5 record. So they can win against Ursuline and Lakeside and get in, but they could also just win against Fitch and still get in. The Spartans are still looking good, but I think they need to win tonight to keep the momentum, even though I'm Irish.
Exactly. All right, next up, the Valley Christian Eagles taking on the Southeast Pirates.
Well, Valley Christian comes into this game 5-2, but they took it on the chin last week at home against Rootstown 30-16. They're only 1-1 on the road. This is their third game in the road, only of the season on the road, but they've won 2 of their last 3 overall. Southeast, on the other hand, lost to Mogador 49-34. They've lost 3 of 4, but they're 0-2 at home. Southeast is 2-5. This is a toss-up, even though Valley Christian is a 1-point favorite heading into the game.
Yeah, 5-2 Valley Christian for the 6th time this season will play up division. Division 4, Southeast, they're 2-5. Most indications have the Eagles with 5 wins already in the postseason. I believe that. 2 more victories should get them a opening at home in the playoffs. The last 2 games, they host 6-1 Mogador, which are their number 1 in the Division 4 Region 21 computer, and a road game at Division 5 Crestwood. Eagles' last 6 defeats in the last 2 years to playoff teams. Both losses this year to Gilmore and Rootstown are both 7-0, so they're both expected to make the playoffs. So Christian continues to play a very tough schedule. They play up, and fortunately for them, they're winning some of these games.
Right.
And they don't need to win them all, and I think they're in the playoffs already.
Yeah, I think they're in good shape as well. Next up, the Wellsville Tigers taking on the Southern Indians. Southern is a very good squad this year.
Well, Wellsville's 3-5. They started the season 0-2, but they're 3-3 since. They lost to Letonia. I take that back. They lost to Columbiana last week at home 48-12. They go to Letonia next week. After 6 straight wins for Southern Local, they lost last week 33-18 to United Local. They're 3-0 at home, and they'll host Columbiana next week. So Southern Local 6-1, Wellsville 3-5. No shock here that Southern Local is a 23-point favorite.
You know, 6-1 Southern's first loss last week to United 33-18 has put them in a very similar situation to Poland. Look good, but now the playoffs are no longer a given with 3 weeks to play. 8-2 final mark is no longer an automatic ticket for them, for the Indians to get in the postseason, except for one scenario. If one of the 2 victories is over Columbiana next week, now the Region 21 combatants, you have McDonald, Springfield, and West Reserve, all behind Southern, but they all have wins over Columbiana. The Indians, if they want to maintain their advantage in the level 2 points, a victory versus the Clippers would do that. Here's the current level 2 points and the computer rankings. Reserve has 48 level 2 points, they're 11th. McDonald has 60 points in the level 2, they're 8th. Springfield has 67, they're 7th, and Southern is 6th, but they have 76.5 level 2 points. So they still have the advantage, and the key game is next week against Columbiana.
Right, exactly. Next up, the West Branch Warriors and the West Holmes Knights.
Well, this is going to be a good ball game. West Branch is only a 1-point favorite going on the road, but West Branch is 6-1, West Holmes is 5-2. West Branch started 3-0, they lost to Alliance in week number 4, 34-21, and they've won 3 in a row since. They're coming off that 21-0 win over Canton South last week. Their last 3 opponents, they've outscored them 83-12. Now, West Holmes, on the other hand, has started out 5-2, but they've lost their last 2 games. They lost 34-33 at Lexington 2 weeks ago, and 47-20 at Worcester in week number 6. So this is a toss-up, and West Branch, even though they're a one-point favorite, could find themselves in trouble if they get behind the eight ball too soon.
Yeah, for 6-1 West Branch, it's go time. There are several local schools not currently in the top eight in the computer. We call them bubble teams that still could make a run and play in Week 11. Mooney's 14th, Lisbon's 12th, Southington's 13th, Girard's 12th, or even JFK at 14th. But how about West Branch? They're 11th in the Region 9. Their current Level 2 points are 65.5. Now, 5-2 West Holmes in the Warriors' next game against Marlington next week, they have a combined 56.5 Level 1 points that West Branch can add to their Level 2 total with wins. Week 10, they do host Salem. So a 9-1 record will bring a playoff spot. Two victories tonight and next week versus Marlington should also give them a playoff spot. But keep an eye on West Branch. They're playing pretty good football right now.
Right. Next up, the Western Reserve Blue Devils. After a tough week last week, they got to bounce back and take on the Waterloo Vikings.
Well, you'd hate to say that they're looking past Waterloo to go to McDonald. But Western Reserve is 6-1, Waterloo is 1-6, and there's a reason. After six straight wins, Western Reserve lost to Springfield Local last week, 30-10. They're only 1-1 on the home. They're 1-1, 4-1 at home this year. I apologize.
Got it.
Waterloo lost at home last week to Jackson Milton, 20-0. They shut out last. They've been shut out the last 2 weeks. They're 0-3 at home, and their only win in week number three over Conotton Valley on the road, 14-10. In the league, they've only been outscored 115-9, and that's in the Mahoning Valley Athletic Conference. Western Reserve is a 36-point favorite. They better save themselves as they look towards McDonald.
Yeah, you really can't fault them for having a down night tonight, because that 6-1 Reserve season went from playoffs to fringe contender after last week's 30-10 loss at home to Springfield. Now, even if they win out at Waterloo and home contests against McDonald and Jackson Milton, the postseason odds are not very good. Here's the reason why. Waterloo and Jackson Milton have only 11 combined Level 1 points. That's terrible. The Blue Devils' Level 2 points are currently 48. In the Region 21 computer, there are 10 schools that have 60-plus Level 2 points. Reserve fans, here are three things you need to do. First of all, root for a 3-0 finish. Also, hope that the 10 schools ahead of the Blue Devils in the computer go on losing streaks. And last but not least, pray.
Yeah. Pray. Yep. You gotta hope. And our last matchup of the night, the Wyndham Bombers and the Grand Valley Mustangs.
Well, this is a Northeastern Athletic Conference game. Both teams are 6-1, and both teams are 3-0, so this is the battle of supremacy in the league. Wyndham has won two. They started the season 4-0. Their only loss was in week number five to Garrettsville Garfield, 40-12. They're 3-0 on the road. Grand Valley, the Mustangs, on the other hand, have won three in a row. They've outscored their last three opponents 118-18, and they beat Matthews at home 40-12 last week. Grand Valley, however, at home is an 11-point favorite over Wyndham.
Wow.
Yeah, these are two teams that definitely deserve to be in the postseason, and it'll be interesting because both could still make it despite what happens tonight. But Wyndham is one of these teams, too, that has been a very good team, like Rootstown, over the last three or four seasons. They're just helping to break through in the playoffs, and that could happen this year.
All right, and we have to mention that tomorrow night there is one matchup. It is the Warren JFK Eagles and the Gilmore Academy Lancers.
Well, JFK is tops in the North Coast League in the white division. They're 2-0. They started 1-4, but they've won two in a row. Both games have been by shutout. They shut out Trinity last week 40-0 and 48-0 over St. Thomas Aquinas, and both of those games were at home. Now, prior to those two shutouts, the defense had given up 55, 47, 63, and 48 in their four losses. So their defense has come to play over the last couple weeks. Gilmore Academy is 7-0, but they're 4-0 at home. They beat Cleveland Central Catholic 42-6. They in their four games, they've held opponents to single digits scoring. However, Gilmore Academy will come in a 23-point favorite over Warren JFK tomorrow.
I got good news and bad news for the 3-4 JFK Eagles postseason chances. The good news, they are playing Gates Mill Gilmore Academy. They have 32 Level 1 points available that JFK can steal if they win. And with the win tonight, they could very possibly get them in postseason, even if they finish 4-6. So that's the good news. Here's the bad news. The bad news is they're playing Gilmore Academy. They're 7-0. They've outscored their opponents 314-68, which includes a 33-6 rout of Valley Christian. The last time these schools met in a football game was 2004 Division V Regional Quarterfinal Playoff game, which was won by the Lancers 45-30.
And there you have it. Those are tonight's matchups, and including tomorrow's matchup with Warren JFK. So we're going to take our first break of the night, let these first quarters get going, and get ready for their second quarter matchups that are starting to get into it right now. So we're going to take our first break of the night. You are watching Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Autos.
Hi, I'm Joe Flynn. For a great deal on tires, just drive in any Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Or you can just call us.
Remember, Flynn's does more than just tires. From brakes and mufflers to scheduled maintenance and general repairs, Flynn's does it all. Go to FlynnsTire.com for money-saving coupons.
For dependable tires and expert service, go to Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Visit FlynnsTire.com to request an appointment.
And tell them Finney sent you.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at CharlieStaplesBBQ.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken, always the crowd pleaser. Just Google CharlieStaplesBBQ.com and place your order.
We are Venture Salem. We produce the fascias, trim elements, and interior plastic components used on millions of cars today. We are a great place to start building a career from the ground up as a light industrial laborer, robotics operator, team leader, and more. Begin your career with Ventra Salem. Apply today at jobs.ventra.com. Ventra Salem, where careers are built.
Carl Peterson, and I was a Lisbon Blue Devil. I went to Lisbon David Anderson High School and played football from the years of 1996 to 1999, and I graduated in the year 2000. I was a lineman, so at a smaller school like Lisbon, I played both ways. So I was on my offensive and defensive line at Lisbon David Anderson, and then at college at Case Western afterward, I played on the defensive line, both three tackle and defensive end. Yeah, if memory serves me, of course, we had a legacy come right off the state championship in 1995. So I was in eighth grade, and I remember at going to the state championship game. It was at Massillon Stadium, and that shaped kind of our perspective about high school, and we were expected to have winning teams. And I believe we did so throughout those 4 years I was in high school. We won the TCL 3 out of the 4 years. It was a TCL back then. And then, of course, went to playoffs my senior year, but we got beat by South Range. Well, you know, that more teams made the playoffs in the late 90s, and the system changed since then, but they took 8 from each regional division at that point in time. So it was challenging and exciting to be playing South Range, which in the 90s, South Range and Lisbon had a significant rivalry. And those rivalries changed throughout the decades in high school sports and others, but some persist. But we had always had a rivalry with South Range, amongst other schools. So that was exciting to play against some of the guys that you knew well in a playoff game. And that playoff game was a home game in Lisbon, but we were not victorious and we got knocked out the first round. But it was a fun experience nonetheless. I think I was first team TCL for both my junior and senior year, and then senior year as captain, and that was voted on by the players. So out of all the accolades, it was nice to have your peer group vote for you for captain, amongst other things. And that, you know, every team's different. Sometimes captains are picked by coaches, but most of the time the team does vote for the captains, the offense and defense and so forth. And I thought that was the nicest accolade ever, because that was my peer group, and I was very appreciative of that. And then I played the Penn Ohio game after my senior year, and that was fun, because I had a lot of guys that, you know, we played against each other over the years in the region, Beaver Local, Crestview, East Liverpool, all those schools. And it was nice to have that additional camaraderie after your senior year. So the Penn Ohio game is always it's always fun to be nominated for that as well. I still keep in touch with a lot of those guys. So the at Beaver Local, Jamin Pastor and I maintained a good relationship. He was a great athlete. I think he ended up playing at Duke, if my memory serves me. I think he lettered at Duke. Let's see, who else? Josh Davis, I played on Lisbon's team with. Josh, I think he still holds the bench record at YSU, if memory serves me. He's a big kid. So he played at YSU. He was on my team. And, of course, Andrew Adams from Lisbon is still a good friend of mine. And he was an outstanding running back for Lisbon. So, you know, I had some great relationships with other folks in other schools. But, of course, you know, your colleagues or your peers on your team, too, two that come to mind immediately as excellent athletes are Josh Davis and Andrew Adams. They're awesome.
Thank you. Inc., your authorized Under Armour dealer. One source, one solution for all your printing and embroidery needs since 1989. Visit EagleWearInc.com for more info. Eagle Wear Inc., North Main Street, Hubbard, Ohio.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at CharlieStaplesBBQ.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken, always the crowd pleaser. Just Google CharlieStaplesBBQ.com and place your order.
I always had kind of a singular mindset surrounding my career, and that shaped the decision-making process. Was visited by recruiters and did receive letters from Division I schools, NCAA schools alike. I visited Penn State, BG, YSU, Cincy. Then came down to Case Western and John Carroll, not just because of proximity, but because they had good pre-medicine programs. And I ended up ultimately choosing Case over John Carroll, you know, not because of the football program. Of course, John Carroll had a more established program at that time. Case has had a nice run since, but as far as D3 school, I thought I'd get to play a little bit more. Kind of went that direction, and then I was guaranteed a research opportunity at Case Western Reserve, and that's important. That they did that immediately during the application process, so it kind of made it a no-brainer for me, and I ended up at Case. And, you know, in Case's program actually grew and improved significantly throughout the early 2000s, so it ended up being a great choice. We played schools like Carnegie Mellon, Washington University in St. Louis, Chicago. Mike DiPaolo is a name that comes to mind. He was a solid athlete. Of course, I played on the defense with Justin Holmes, I'm trying to think of some names, local names that we'd remember. Mike Kelly played for Cardinal Mooney. He's a local guy, and Mike Kelly played on the offensive line. Well, my major, Case Western is more of a technical school, so pre-med's not a major in and of itself, but I had majors in biology and psychology with a minor in chemistry, and then a pre-med track, and then after Case Western, I stayed at the Cleveland Clinic Lerner College of Medicine, which is part of Case, and went directly from undergrad to the Lerner College. I think there's a lot of discussion now about the stressors on student athletes, not just in high school, but in college. I mean, I think there's the mindset now that a significant amount of stress is placed on young individuals. High school is one thing with all balancing all your extracurriculars, but in undergrad, it's entirely different. So even playing Division III football, it is a significant portion of your time. And probably that combined with the academic rigors of a multiple major and having to maintain excellent grade point average, as well as studying for the MCAT, I would say that overall it was more time significant than the studying necessary in medical school. But when I talk to younger students, you know, that shadow me here or going into medicine or going to play a sport, you need to think long and hard about balancing a pre-professional career and college athletics. But at the same time, once I was in medical school and there, looking back over my high school and college football career, it certainly was worth that risk of time.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at CharlieStaplesBBQ.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken, always the crowd pleaser. Just Google CharlieStaplesBBQ.com and place your order.
Your authorized Under Armour dealer. One source, one solution for all your printing and embroidery needs since 1989. Visit EagleWearInc.com for more info. Eagle Wear Inc., North Main Street, Hubbard, Ohio.
So from Lisbon, David Anderson went to Case. Was at Case for 4 years, pre-med, and then the Cleveland Clinic Lerner College of Medicine, which was a five-year MDMS program. So I defended a master's thesis in central nervous system radiation necrosis. So that's a pathology master's. And then graduated from there in 2009, stayed at the Cleveland Clinic for medicine training, and then went to the University of Rochester in upstate New York for 4 years for radiation training. So radiation oncology is a component of the multidisciplinary cancer team. You heard team come out of my mouth a lot, so I think you're getting the constant thread throughout my life that started with high school football in that regard, and that's how cancer is managed. We handle cancer now in a way that's drastically improved outcomes, and that's evidence-based medicine, where we all work together as a team. Medical oncologist, surgical oncologist, all the support staff, then radiation oncologist, which is myself. I design and give therapeutic radiation that either reduces the risk of cancer recurrence or helps treat cancer outright. I have two children. I have a 3.5-year-old daughter named Hannah and a 2-year-old son, Carl IV. I met my wife in Cleveland. She was at Cleveland Marshall Law School, and while I was at Case Med, we met there. Her name's Jessie, and she's corporate counsel for a large roofing company in this region. And we are happily married now with 2 children, and our families live nearby too. Her brother and sister and my folks live in Poland. Her folks live in Poland. Everybody kind of conglomerated to that area, so it's a nice lifestyle. And we both are very passionate about providing an excellent service for our community. I would say that probably through high school athletics, in particularly football, that team-based concept, I would say that the work ethic that was constantly necessary for success in the football field became applicable directly to all short, intermediate, long-term goals alike, all of those things. And I think that combined with a team-based aspect helped contribute to my personal success. Of course, we all need to grow and improve, but I still think about those days and what I learned from all my coaches and peer group.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at charliestaplesbbq.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken, always the crowd pleaser. Just Google charliestaplesbbq.com and place your order.
Flynn's Tire and Auto Service.
Need tires? Call Flynn's first.
Where the advertised tire price is the entire price. And tell them Finney sent you.
Blitz Live.
If you don't have time to check your tires properly for wear and correct tire pressure, go to Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Flynn's offers free tire and pressure checks. Just stop in and ask, and they'll do it for you. Welcome to the Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Dom Joseph, Greg Gulas, and Champ Summers with you. And guys, we've already got some scores coming in here. And have we seen any surprises so far? I think it's pretty orderly as we go so far here.
I think it's what we've expected so
right.
far. I mean, LeBray and 7 and Brookfield at 7-7 after
right.
what, 2 possessions probably. That's a little bit of a surprise.
Major upset.
Trouble is there's only another 46 minutes to
yeah,
go.
Yeah,
right. All right, so let's run through some of these scores for you now. West Holmes is up 7-0 on West Branch United with a 14-0 lead over Letonia. Western Reserve is getting back into the winning ways with a 14-0 lead over Waterloo. Southern has a 16-0 lead over Wellsville. It is 7-0 Boardman over Ursuline. Louisville has a 7-0 lead over South Range. That game is at Louisville. Poland has a 7-0 lead at Lakeview. Girard taking care of business against Newton Falls. It is 21-0 in the first quarter there. First quarter in this one as well, McDonald 19, Sebring 0. This was to be expected from that McDonald squad that is still undefeated. Southington with a 13-0 lead over Matthews. Columbiana with a 7-0 lead over Lisbon. It is 7-0 Indian Creek over Beaver Local. We got a tie ball game in the first quarter between East Palestine and Toronto at 7 apiece. Champion with a 7-0 lead over Camel. Warren Harding has a 6-0 lead over Cardinal Mooney in the second quarter at Mollenkopf Stadium. La Brea has taken the lead in that matchup. It is now 13-7 Vikings over Brookfield. And how about this one, guys? It is Erie McDowell 2, Austintown Fitch 0.
Safeties are running rampant.
Right. I don't think we've had this many safeties in one season
no.
in so many years. I think, Champ, that might be your project for next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, I'm going to research safeties now. I mean, that's probably going to be hard because they probably don't even keep track of that information.
And, Champ, right. you said with McDonald winning tonight, that would be, what, about 70 or 80 secondary points?
Yes, McDonald's, and next week, I hate to not bypass this week, but next week is the key week for McDonald's Spring Children because that
right.
Southern Columbiana game is huge because Southern, by losing last week, have brought themselves closer to those other three teams. And there's still a possibility that if McDonald would lose and finish 9-1, reserve 9-1, and Springfield, none of those teams could make it. We could be shut out totally. And Southern's an interesting story because they haven't made the playoffs since 07. They have a 10-year drought. So it would be nice to see them get in. And they were rolling along, and they really took it on the chin last week. I'd be curious to see how they bounce back. But next week is the key week in terms of that trilogy with Springfield, those Division VI schools. And keep in mind that when the playoffs have no opinion at all in the playoffs. They're based on computer points. So a team like Girard, they were up 21-0. There's not a poll that can come in and say, you know what, I think they're pretty good, because a lot of the people around the state think Girard's a pretty good team. But right now, they're not a playoff team because of the numbers.
Right.
And I think that they're winning big tonight, but their season's going to come down to their last two games when they have La Brea and Liberty.
And you mentioned Girard, and they have scored again. It is 27-0 Girard over the Newton Falls Tigers. And like you said, just their offense is unreal and deserving to be in the playoffs, but just they don't have the numbers schedule-wise.
And that one game, like that loss that Reserve had to last week, that one loss to Hubbard. I mean, it's no shame to lose to Hubbard. But that's going to eventually could be the reason why they don't make the playoffs, because the rest of their schedule, the teams that they're beating, it's not their fault. They're just not beating other teams. And that's what level 2 points are. The level 2 points are the teams that you beat who they beat. And so you have no control over it. That's why teams like Canfield and Boardman and Fitch and Harding have such high level 2 points, because the teams they're beating are going then beating other quality teams. That's not the case with Girard's opponents.
Is there such a case as a quality loss? And I know the computer doesn't figure that out, but let's say Warren Harding would have lost to Canton McKinley 16-15, okay? And then maybe lost to Massillon Washington 21-20. I mean, it's still a loss.
A loss is a loss. And it's very simple.
It's not computed.
The level 1 points are the teams you beat. And the rating is, if you're a Division 1, 6.5, 6, 5, it goes down to 3.5. Then every team that you beat, who they beat, depending on where they're at with division, that's how you get level 2 points. So, in other words, if you look at teams level 1 points you're playing tonight, if you beat that team, that's your level 2 points that transfer over. So your level 1 points, when you beat a team, their level 1 points immediately go into the level 2 points column. It's very simple to figure that out. There is no opinion. It doesn't matter if you win 70-0 or win 2-1, although that can't happen. It could be 3-2 with the safety.
Struthers will find a way.
There is no opinion in the
system.
But I like that about the system, because I think that's was the problem. That's why this system Ohio has is looked upon around the country as a very good system, very efficient.
All right, now we have our first live update of the night, and it's coming from Rain Stadium, where it's a scoreless matchup between East and Canfield. Let's hear what Brian Zenas has to say live from Rain Stadium. Oh, we're not ready yet, Kyle. Oh, there
he is. Brian Zenas, Vinny Blitz. Things are scoreless at Rain Stadium between Canfield and East. East fumbled on their opening possession to give the Cardinals the ball at East 11, but they couldn't punch in the score when they were stuffed on a fourth down at East's 4-yard line. Lane Spires also had another big sack on Canfield's second drive, where they were at to take them from the 20-yard line back to about the 35, forcing a Canfield punt. There's only been two first downs, one each for each team, so things are looking like a defensive game so far. Reporting from Rain, this is Brian Zenas, Vindy Blitz.
Well, see, that does not shock me. I'll tell you what.
It's a defensive matchup.
They almost played giveaway, and look what they did. They stuffed them on a fourth down deep in their own territory.
Right.
Their defense, and that's a beautiful story today in the paper about East. It was very, very nice in the
Absolutely.
Blitz.
Absolutely.
And to finish my point, Canfield has 39 level 1 points. So if East would beat them, those 39 points go into level 2. That's the level 2 points, because that's everything that Canfield has, teams they have beaten, that immediately goes to the East column. If they beat Canfield tonight, I think they're in. And keep in mind, last week they got 36.5 points from that one win, East over Poland.
And what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, East had a hard time last year trying to put a game away. They're putting games away. In fact, they're taking prisoners this week, this
year.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because we thought that the whole switch around for Division II, whatever they were going, was going to be tough for East, but it's maybe confusing their opponents more than anything, because they have no idea how many points they're going to get. But they've done a pretty good job, and that's a tough. That 4-13 is very competitive. That is, I can't remember ever in this area to have so many teams in one region competing. Like 8 of the 12 teams are from the area, so there's going to be no doubt matchups in the early playoff.
And I'm glad that the OHSAA saw fit to make sure that those kids finish out their season with East High School.
Right. We got another update for you guys here. The Boardman Spartans have now increased their lead over Ursuline 14-0. That game is in the second quarter now. The Southern Indians now have a 22-7 lead over the Wellsville Tigers. And I believe I saw one more score update here. No, it was just the Girard game that we just mentioned. But I do want to mention two games that happened yesterday. Niles and Howland took on each other yesterday, and Niles got the better of the Tigers, 28-6. And that's a big win for the Red Dragons.
Well, it is a big win for the Red Dragons. They were 0-3 on the road heading into that game, and they had lost 35-0 to Canfield. And the deal is they were up 21-0 at the half, 28-0 heading into the fourth quarter, and did not allow a point until about the 8:04 mark. But listen to this. Niles McKinley rushed the ball 31 times for 146 yards, Howland 34 times for 104. They passed. They were 10 of 14 for 113 yards. They had 259 total yards. Howland had 260 total yards, yet they beat him pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good win for Niles, but it's been a long, long season for Howland. They were able to get off this snide last week with their win. But, this is a team that a lot of teams like to play because they're Division III Howland. But it's not a good year to play Howland, because I know Boardman was disappointed, because all these teams that beat Howland now, they keep losing. It's not helping them with their level 2 points.
Yeah, in recent years, beating Howland was an accomplishment.
Absolutely.
The way they were playing.
Right.
But this year, it is just not the Howland we're used to seeing.
Yes.
And our other matchup of the night last night was the Liberty Leopards in Jefferson area, and Liberty just took it to the Falcons.
Well, Liberty came in a 25-point favorite, won 47-0. They're 6-2. Now, how about this one? They limited Jefferson area to 3 first downs. Now, how about this one? They rushed the ball 38 times for 95 yards, about 2.5 yards a carry. Only 104 total yards. And conversely, Liberty ran the ball 35 times for 239 yards, 265 yards of total offense. But how about this one? Miguel Burgess, 7 carries for 154 yards, 5 touchdowns, a 53, 10, 5, 50, and 20 yards.
Wow.
And Liberty, 6-2 record. You know, normally that'd be right on track to get in the playoffs, but unfortunately their two losses were the games they needed to win for points. Struthers and LeBray. Two tough teams, but then they've beaten Pie Valley and Brookfield and Camel and Champion, and that's not going to cut it. Now they have the finished game with Girard, which is obviously going to be much more important for Girard, but Liberty right now probably not going to be in the playoffs. They just don't have that big quality win needed because they lost both those games.
Right. All right, so let's run through some of these more score updates that we've gotten here. We'll go through them all one more time. West Holmes has a 7-0 lead over West Branch in the first quarter. United with a 14-0 lead over Letonia in the first. Western Reserve has Waterloo down 14-0. Southern with a 22-7 lead over Wellsville. Boardman up 14-0 on Ursuline. Louisville with a 7-0 lead at home against South Range. Poland has a 7-0 lead on the road at Lakeview. Girard up 27-0 against Newton Falls. McDonald with a 19-0 lead on Sebring. Southington up 13-0 against Matthews. Jackson Milton's on the board. They have scored against Lowellville. It is 7-0. And Columbiana with a 7-0 lead on Lisbon. Kent Roosevelt has a 12-0 lead on Crestview. Indian Creek with a 7-0 lead on Beaver Local. East Palestine and Toronto are tied at 7 in that matchup between the Red Knights and Bulldogs. Champion with a 7-0 lead on Campbell Memorial. Warren Harding has a 6-0 lead on Cardinal Mooney in the second. We're still scoreless between East and Canfield in the second quarter. We're going to get a live update again from Brian Zenis momentarily when they go to halftime. Austintown Fitch has come back after giving up that safety. It is 13-2 Falcons over Erie McDowell. And last but not least, champ, we got a ball game.
Who?
It's 14-13, Brookfield over LeBray.
Oh, my goodness.
Brookfield's got the lead.
Well, you know what? Maybe they've been watching the Golden State Warriors play because they are called the Warriors, and they're pretty special.
That surprises me, honestly.
That does.
To see that they're going toe-to-toe with LeBray.
They're coming into the season and into the game 1-6.
Yeah.
I mean, and some of the games haven't been that competitive.
I mean, that just solidifies the fact that you can never sleep on a team, regardless of the record.
So is this a common example of playing up to your opposition?
Well, I it's still early yet because
we
know what LeBray can do. I mean, they could score 60 points in the second half. Maybe they want
they could push this to a running clock by halftime.
Maybe the starters are probably tired of sitting out the third, fourth quarters. You ever think about that?
Yeah.
They want to play in the half second. We want to play in the second half. Right? Anyways.
Whatever it takes. Right. Whatever it takes to play the whole game.
It's still the Warriors, though. Remember that.
Yep, there you go. Yep. Gotta love the Warriors. Yep. If you're champ. Poland has extended their lead now against Lakeview. It's 21-0, and this is a game the Bulldogs of Poland desperately needed. Desperately needed that game. And, I mean, quiet game at Mollenkopf. 6-0 Warren Harding. I was kind of surprised by that. I mean, understandably, Mooney's a good squad, but, I mean, Warren Harding at home, the momentum they have, I thought they'd have a little bit more than what they've got right now.
Yeah, Moody's problem hasn't been really the defense. It's been the offense.
The putting offense points on the board.
Yeah, they scored 6 points against Boardman. I mean, and they're really under the gun right now, the Cardinals, if they want to get back
into
the playoffs.
And again, how did Boardman win that game?
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you look at me, Ursuline fan, Ursuline alum, you got to like Cardinal Mooney starting to fall apart right as we get our first win and getting ready to lose to Boardman, but still we got a little bit of that momentum back.
I'm calling St. Luke's. I'm telling him what you said.
The bishop might answer.
That's next week, right? That should be game next week?
I believe so. Yeah, that, you know, it should be.
A lot of these rivalry games are in week 9. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Like Boardman Fitch and...
But look at Campbell Struthers. That was week 7.
Yeah, well, that's because...
Week 7.
Is that the game that they're not playing anymore?
As of right now.
Wow,
that's a shame.
That's huge.
It is.
It's a true shame.
Yeah.
But again, you've got one in attendance going this way and the other one going that way, or I should say enrollment.
All right. I've got another score update for you. Just hadn't heard from this game, but finally did, and it is very one-sided. The Springfield Tigers with a 29-0 lead over Mineral Ridge. That's to be expected. This is a very good Springfield squad this year.
Yes. And again, talk about that troika in the... in that area. You've got Western Reserve losing to Springfield Local. Springfield Local beating, McDonald beating Springfield Local. Western Reserve, or Springfield Local...
beating Western Reserve.
Springfield Local beat Western Reserve. Western Reserve beat... Yeah, McDonald beat Western... McDonald beat Springfield Local, so we're waiting for the other out.
Right, yeah, McDonald Reserve played in week 9.
Yeah.
But the problem is, though, that they're out of conference games, and they're, once again, these are Division VI schools that play D7. A lot of teams, D7 schools. And these D7 schools, the teams we're talking about, they win 4 games, 5 games, they're in the playoffs. You got to win 9, 10 games almost for that. But they've got to start looking at some of these games they play out of their conference. You know, why not take a Howland or a Niles or go up to 3 or 4, play some of those teams? Columbiana's done it. I mean, Columbiana.
South Range is doing.
Yeah, South Range.
They were at 5 playing a 2 3 weeks ago.
And unfortunately, like I said, you play a team like Sebring, you're better off to lose to Sebring but beat a team like United. In the end, you probably end up getting more points because you're not getting anything from Sebring. Nothing against them. They're one example. But that's the problem these Division VI schools have. They need to play more, play up in maybe 3 and 4 divisions in their non-conference games to even this out, because every year we have this same situation where you win 9, 10 games and you're not good enough to get in the playoffs.
And correct me if I'm mistaken, both of you guys, it doesn't matter if you're a 1-2, a 2-3, 3-4, there's not a lot of difference between those divisions, but when you start going 3 and 4 divisions away, there's a pretty big disparity.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and take an example, like a Christian or a JFK or Latonia, especially JFK and Youngstown Christian, they're Division 7. They play a Division III school and they win that school, and that school's a good team. They almost have enough points with that win to make the playoffs.
And 2 years ago when JFK was doing that, they could have beaten a division, a team that was 2 or 3 divisions above them. Their defense was that good.
Yeah, and Youngstown Christian has the big win over Steubenville Central Catholic. I think last year was Lisbon. Remember they had beat Lisbon last year?
And they did it again this year.
Yes, and that was they were Division VII school. But those teams play similar to what Mooney and Ursuline have done over the years. Division 3 and 4, when they were in Division 3 and 4, they were playing up against Boardman, Fitch, and Harding, teams like that. You win just 1 or 2 of those games. So that's why it's good to schedule these really tough games. Like I said, Crestview and South Range have been doing it because they were forced to because they were, you know, basically independent.
And a couple years ago, I remember sitting in Larry Kemp's office, and we were going over his schedule. And at one point in time, I think 7 of the 10 teams he was playing were either playoff bound, and 4 of those had gone to the 13th week or beyond, and that's a tough schedule.
Yeah,
unfortunately, that schedule is when you have it down years, that schedule really hurts you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
All right, so now we have another live update for you guys. This is coming from Bob Ettinger at the Struthers-Hubbard game. This has been a close one so far. Let's hear what he has to say about it.
This is Bob Ettinger from Alumni Field in Hubbard, where the Eagles are locked in a scoreless tie with Struthers heading into the second quarter. Rafael Morales has 21 yards rushing for the Eagles. Struthers has struggled to move the ball. We head to the second quarter. Hubbard 0, Struthers 0.
All right, thank you very much, Bob. And does that surprise you?
No, that does not surprise me.
I think I would
agree
with you.
It does not surprise me. Look what Struthers did going up to Poland.
Yeah, right. All right, I've got another update for you. LeBray has now taken the lead back from Brookfield. It is 19-14 in that one. And I saw, yeah, Kent Roosevelt 12, Crestview on the board now with a touchdown, 12-7 in that one. So Crestview got on the board. And I believe I saw, yes, and his Western Reserve is now in running clock against Waterloo. It is 34-0 Blue Devils over the Vikings. So, yeah, that to be expected for this reserve team that needed to get back.
Well, they're probably already working on next week's game, probably.
Right.
The players are probably in the locker room, the first stringers, looking at trying to get some film from tonight's game.
It's kind of funny you'd say that, because I still remember Pete Molica, our late sports writer here for the Vindicator, played for Tony Mason at Niles.
Mm-hmm.
He said at halftime they would be beating Cleveland East Tech. It would be like 52-0 or whatever. The guys that started the game were dressed.
Yeah.
And they were playing the second team and third team. Tony Mason was a good coach. He was an excellent coach.
Yeah, that's another advantage of having a team that wins big. You get a lot of your second and third stringers. And I know on the collegiate level, Notre Dame. The problem I had with their first three games that were very close games, and two of them should have just beat the teams up, is they weren't getting enough of the freshmen, the new guys, and the starters were playing way too much in terms
of a lot
of
secondary points.
Right. So, and Ohio State, you know, most of their games are blowouts. So they get a lot of guys that are playing, true freshmen, that are good enough to start on many teams. But on Ohio State, they're not. But they get examples that can come in and play now. The starters are rested.
Right. And we can make that transition now while we await Brian Zenas to give us the call for our live interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
College football. Notre Dame's a big win against Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. That was a statement win. What's the name of
it? I thought the bigger statement.
Virginia Tech Stadium is escaping me right now. Does Corey know it? Corey's going to join us in a minute. You've got to know.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Whatever the name of it is.
No, Lane Stadium.
Yeah, it's not as intimidating as it was a week ago. So
I think it's Lane Stadium. But you guys got Pitt this week, and Pitt is not the team they used to be.
No.
But they love to play as the underdog.
Well, they beat Clemson.
Right.
The year Clemson won the national championship. That was their only defeat.
Exactly.
And, Notre Dame, this is why they play this national schedule. And every team looks at if Notre Dame's on their schedule, there's a good chance that's the biggest game on their schedule.
Right.
Like Ohio State's coming to that same situation, too. Alabama, obviously, too. But, yeah, but Notre Dame, that was a good win because it was a road win on a Saturday night primetime kind of thing where they really looked horrible last year against Miami. If you remember that game. They weren't ready to play that game.
Yeah.
But this is a different Notre Dame team.
Yeah.
And I expect them to come out. I'm concerned about every game. But they've got some, even though their schedule's not that tough, they still have to travel all over the place at Northwestern. They play Syracuse up in Yankee Stadium all places.
Yeah.
At USC. So they got some, but you know, so far so good for this Irish team. And offensively, they've really come alive. But their defense, and I'll say this over and over again, is really, really good.
Yeah, I would
agree. They are the number one rated efficiency team in rushing the passer in college football. Alabama's 2, Ohio State's 3, Notre Dame is 1.
Yeah, there you go.
In rushing the court. That says a lot.
Their defense is phenomenal. Yeah, I will give them props for that.
And that's why you can have that average offensive game and still win. And they're just as big as Alabama and these big teams. They got the speed down. They just need to win some football games.
Yeah. But I would agree. Just Pitt is a team that you can't sleep on.
Never. Yeah.
And I want to bring this up, too, because I want to hear what you guys think about this. And we're talking about this with my friends that are close to the Pitt school, close to the team that have been following them for years. They want to go back to the royal blue and gold that they used to wear during Marino, Dorsett age.
Right.
What do you think? Their throwback uniforms I love. I think they should go back.
I like them.
I've never been one to talk about uniforms. You know, I think the darker the uniform, the better. I mean, I love the Raiders uniforms. I like when the Browns go to that brown.
Uh-huh.
I like that. But I don't know. It's It's I'm trying to remember, because I remember that when Tony Dorsett ran all over Notre Dame, was he wearing those uniforms? I hope
he was.
I hope they don't wear those uniforms. I think about
it. Well, then, if you want to bring that up, they are wearing their throwbacks.
They are.
Against Notre Dame.
Whose idea was that?
Pitt. They knew. They knew that's
Notre
what they
knew that
was going to help them.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's going to matter. Uniforms.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's you know, this is a good program, football program of the year. They've kind of been lost when they moved the conferences around and stuff.
Yeah.
They really have lost their identity, especially in basketball too.
Yeah.
They're struggling right now, but their football team is nothing to scoff. I mean, they're tough.
Yeah.
They're big. They're physical. And but this year, this team has struggled on both sides of the ball, and they had two major injuries this week too. Their leading tackler and captain got injured out for the year, and I think their top tight end is out now for the year.
Because he left.
Yeah.
And he left the team.
Yeah.
It's just bad news going on at Pitt right now. But the one thing that surprised me the most about that is, I mean, you look at people forget they have 9 championships.
Yeah.
It's a powerhouse college football team, but just nowadays they're losing recruits to Ohio State, to Penn State, to all the big Power 5 schools that surround them. And it's just,
they need to bring back Marshall Goldberg.
Marshall Goldberg, yes.
That's a good name. Yeah. I haven't heard that one in a long while.
Wow. See, this guy.
I just brought it up.
That's why I can't. That's why these hats were too small. His brain is so huge compared to the average human.
Well, let's go to you. What do you expect out of your Michigan Wolverines in a big matchup against Wisconsin?
I have a hard time believing that they're a 10-point favorite. I really, really do. Honest to gosh.
Well, maybe Wisconsin is overrated again.
Michigan traditionally does not cover the line.
No. That's true.
You know, they're in Ann Arbor. That's the good thing. Then they go to Michigan State. Then they have Penn State coming. This is a big 3-week stretch for them.
Yeah,
we're going to find out if they're contenders or pretenders.
Yeah, I would argue the point that the most important thing for Notre Dame getting into the playoffs, that they're unbeaten, even one loss, is Michigan, if they keep winning.
Yeah, they need Michigan to keep winning.
You're right. Yeah. You're 100% right.
Yeah, they need Michigan to keep winning, because that was a tough opener. And that, even though Notre Dame controlled most of that game, Michigan put themselves in position to win. And really, even though he's not the starter anymore, Winbush won that game pretty much by himself, because the rest of the team,
to book has made your season.
Yes. More efficient quarterback, but the Notre Dame defense has been
well, look at Michigan's defense.
Yeah. They're the number one defense in the country,
that's
Michigan.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And Winbush was able to expose that early on. That they won that game in the first half.
Shea Patterson has gotten better.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was week number. Michigan should not have played Notre Dame in the first week of the season. That would have been a better game.
I wish they didn't play. Well, next year they play midseason.
That's exactly
at Michigan.
Right. That's exactly right.
But I think Ohio State's toughest game by far now is Michigan, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't see these. Michigan State.
So you don't think Michigan State will give them a problem?
It'll be interesting to see what Michigan State does with them tomorrow.
Yeah.
If we want to go historically speaking with Ohio State, I think their biggest test is at Purdue. Because they just love to struggle against the Boilermakers.
Yeah.
The year they won the national title,
maybe they're drinking Boilermakers.
They had to beat them late.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why.
The Holy Buckeye play.
Yep. Yeah, the 4th-and-1. Yeah.
God.
Yep.
It's painful to be a Buckeye.
Well, it's almost like when Notre Dame plays Navy. Now, Notre Dame still has to play Navy. That scares me to death because Navy's these teams, they get the ball and they use it for the whole quarter. That's
true.
I mean, it's like they had these drives, a 29-yard drive. They used up 11 minutes on the clock. I mean, that kills you, because your offense is sitting, waiting. Then your offense is 3 and out, and the Navy gets the ball for another 10 minutes.
Option football is beautiful.
Well, Georgia Tech is – Navy and Georgia Tech are two of the teams that really run it well. Although Army is –
Yeah, I was going to say, the Army-Navy game is the quickest game of the year, because no one ever passes, so the clock runs out. It's a running clock the whole time.
Yeah, the only reason the game takes so long is because they're throwing those hats in the air all the time. They got to find
exactly.
them.
Exactly, yeah, right.
So anyways, or they're whatever their uniforms.
We'll put it this way. Who would you take in that game, Army-Navy?
This year? I don't know. I haven't.
Well, it's just if you have a historical pick, like, do you favor Army or do you favor
Army
Navy?
Well, Army won last year to break up.
This might be Army's year.
Didn't they win, though, last year?
They won
they
2 years ago.
Two
years ago.
Well. This is Army's year. I've watched both of them play. I think Army has it this year.
Oklahoma beat, right?
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. It is a tremendous game to watch. The whole, you know, it's just history. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Notre Dame only plays 3 teams now. Stanford, USC because of the California, and Navy. And there's a reason why. Because when Notre Dame's football program was almost ready to go, Navy helped out by I guess what they did was they had some of the, they used their campus or something. They kept Notre Dame afloat. That's why Notre Dame likes to play Army and Navy a lot because they saved their season way back when they had struggled to get a team
so
together.
So is that why Notre Dame's blue colors are blue and gold?
No. They're blue and gold because it's God's team.
When are you guys going to wear green shirts again?
I don't know. We saved them. We don't really have to wear them unless we wear them for the hopefully getting the playoffs and wear them. And that's interesting because Notre Dame could go undefeated, and there's a scenario where I think they could still not make it.
And not make the playoffs?
Yeah.
And what would that be? What is your
that
scenario
there? That
would
be Ohio State's unbeaten, Clemson's unbeaten,
Alabama.
And Alabama and Georgia play in the championship game, both unbeaten.
Oh, yeah,
Georgia
the SEC.
Beats Alabama. Alabama one win, Notre Dame without a loss.
Oh, so you think the same thing that happened last year, Alabama gets in just because of their record.
Well, because, yeah, but they would be in the championship game. Last year they didn't
right,
make
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But and I would disagree with that. Then I would say, well, wait a minute. Well, let's compare Ohio State and Notre Dame then this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ohio State has been wiping teams off the. But I think that those teams are pretty close. I don't think there's that much of a distance before it. Now, Clemson would be another challenge. Why would Clemson go ahead in Notre Dame? See, this is where Notre Dame not being in a conference could hurt them. But it could help them, too, by not having a conference championship game.
Yeah.
Especially if they go undefeated. But there's a lot of football to be left. We still have six. I think the most we could have is six undefeated teams at this point, but that could change.
The only thing you've got to worry about right now is playing Pitt.
Right.
Honestly.
You're exactly right.
Just can't worry about what the numbers are.
And I guarantee you that's what they're doing. They're playing one game at a time because they've come too far. And they won four games 2 years ago. I mean, Kelly really changed a lot of things in that program.
Yeah.
And I give him a lot of credit. He makes changes now. That quarterback change was tough. It had to be tough for him because Winbush is a quality kid. But it was obvious to Kelly, because he's an offensive guru,
right,
that he didn't have the quarterback to run the offense. And when he came in, Book is using all the other players around him. That's the key, because they have a lot of talent. You know, 10-11 of their starters are back next year on offense, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Well, that'll help them.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can't make it this year, they'll probably make it next year. Well,
and they have a great recruiting class coming in.
Yeah.
And, they're going to be good for a while because of the recruiting.
And that's just the sheer fact that, okay, Notre Dame's on the rise. Like, they got something going in Notre Dame.
Unfortunately, they're picking up Georgia next. They have Georgia back next year. They're picking up Texas A&M, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Alabama. Those are the five new schools that will be adding to their schedule in the next 10 years. They play everybody, which is great.
When did they play Ohio State?
They are. They're playing a two-game series with Ohio. I don't know why. I wish they weren't, but they are.
Well, when do they?
22, 23, somewhere around there.
Wow.
22. Yeah.
Wow.
They pick up Alabama. I don't even know why they call it Alabama.
I know. Ohio State has Texas on their schedule, like 2022 as well. So,
Well, Notre Dame can do it because they're only committed to like five games in the ACC.
Yeah, that's true.
So they have now seven games. Now they have the three that they play all the time. So that opens up. That's why I love their independent national.
I was gonna say, like, because they're ACC in college basketball, does the ACC have an influence on their football schedule then too?
Yes, they have to play. They're not in the conference, but in order to be associated with the ACC,
you
they
got
have
to play
five teams every year, five or six teams.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why they're playing Florida State, Pitt, Clemson. You know, that's good. But that still is not a nine games league schedule, eight game schedule. So they have the three games I just talked about. Then that gives them four games they can, and they do. They just go all over the country. It's for recruiting. It's their national schedule is for recruiting. Period. It's work too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
we have some big scores.
I do. I did want to get back to the scores here.
Before the break.
Yep, so we'll run through some of these again here and we'll reread the ones that still haven't changed, but see what we got going here. So Austintown Fitch has a 13-9 lead on Erie McDowell in the second quarter. LeBray has extended their lead on Brookfield. It's 26-14.
Relax. I told everyone relax.
Just wait and see.
Yeah.
But right now, LeBray's taking care of business. Mm. East Liverpool with a 13-0 lead on Buckeye Local. How about this? Second quarter, East up 6-0 on Canfield.
There you go.
So the Golden Bears up early at Reed Stadium.
That could get him in the playoffs if that's win over Canfield.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Warren Harding with a 12-7 lead on Cardinal Mooney. Mm. Champion still holding on to a 7-0 lead on Camel. In the second quarter, this is a good game right now between East Palestine and Toronto. It's 14-10 Bulldogs over the Toronto Red Knights. Second quarter, Indian Creek up on Beaver Local 14-0. I got another good game for you. Crestview's taking the lead on Kent Roosevelt. It's 13-12.
That's 13 unanswered.
Yeah. You know, Crestview win tonight, they're going to be in too.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. Yep. Second quarter, Columbiana with a 7-0 lead on Lisbon, so they're holding on to that. Jackson Milton still has a 7-0 lead on Lowellville. Southington with a 19-0 lead on Matthews. McDonald has now gone to running clock. It's 34-0 on Sebring.
Girard is in a running clock, 41-0 on Newton Falls, taking care of business there. Still 21-0 Poland on Lakeview, and still 7-0 Louisville on South Range. So South Range gives up that early touchdown, but is not letting them find the end zone now. Springfield still up 29-0 on Mineral Ridge. Still scoreless between Struthers and Hubbard.
No shot.
That's amazing that Hubbard hasn't scored yet.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You think about it.
There's no shock that Struthers is hanging with them.
Yeah, well, Struthers is the hottest thing going right now. Let's be honest. I mean, that game, that 2-point conversion. I mean, that was a gamble, but it made their whole players love that.
It's given them so much life.
Oh, the players love it when the coaches
absolutely love it. Especially when it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Boardman has a 14-7 lead on Ursuline, so the Irish found the end zone. And
I'm going to give the cake to you.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, let me start getting that cake going again. Southeast has a 14-0 lead on Valley Christian at halftime. First quarter, Southern up 30-14 on Wellsville. Wellsville trying to sneak back into that one. It's still 34-0 Western Reserve on Waterloo. And United with a 14-0 lead on Latonia. And second quarter, West Holmes 21 West Branch 0.
So McDonald and West Reserve will meet next week, and their combined scores so far are 70-0? So they're ready to go for next week. They might as well play the game tomorrow.
Right, exactly. You know? Let's just get it going. Yeah. All right, well, we are going to take our next break here, and when we come back, we will have more to go here from the Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at charliestaplesbbq.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken, always the crowd pleaser. Just Google charliestaplesbbq.com and place your order.
Hi, I'm Joe Flynn. For a great deal on tires, just drive in any Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Or you can just call us.
Remember, Flynn's does more than just tires. From brakes and mufflers to scheduled maintenance and general repairs, Flynn's does it all. Go to FlynnsTire.com for money-saving coupons.
For dependable tires and expert service, go to Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Visit FlynnsTire.com to request an appointment.
And tell them Finney sent you.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at CharlieStaplesBBQ.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken, always the crowd pleaser. Just Google CharlieStaplesBBQ.com and place your order.
We are Venture Salem. We produce the fascias, trim elements, and interior plastic components used on millions of cars today. We are a great place to start building a career from the ground up as a light industrial laborer, robotics operator, team leader, and more. Begin your career with Venture Salem. Apply today at jobs.ventra.com. Venture Salem, where careers are built.
Eagle Wear Inc., your authorized Under Armour dealer. One source, one solution for all your printing and embroidery needs since 1989. Visit EagleWearInc.com for more info. Eagle Wear Inc., North Main Street, Hubbard, Ohio.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at CharlieStaplesBBQ.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken, always the crowd pleaser. Just Google CharlieStaplesBBQ.com and place your order.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the AP Top 25 College Football Podcast. I'm Ralph Russo, the college football writer with the Associated Press. My guest this week is New York Times bestselling author Jeff Perlman. Jeff has written books about Walter Payton, Brett Favre, the 1990s Dallas Cowboys, the 1986 Mets, the Showtime Lakers. His latest book is Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. If you are a football fan and you're older than about 40, you probably remember the USFL. If you're younger and don't remember, well, you should. So keep listening and we'll give you an education on this really fascinating spring football league that arose in the early 1980s. And it all came crashing down when it tried to challenge the NFL with an ill-advised move to the fall. Thanks again for listening to the AP Top 25 College Football Podcast. You can find us now on Podcast One. Those fine folks have done a great job in increasing the listenership of this podcast. You can still find us on Apple Podcasts. Please subscribe, and if so inclined, give us a good review. And as usual, you can go to collegefootball.ap.org, where you can read all of our coverage. And away we go. My guest this week on the AP Top 25 College Football Podcast is Jeff Perlman. His latest book is Football for a Buck, and it's about the USFL. And if you are about my age, 48, you probably have some really strong memories of the USFL. But it is an interesting subject for you to pick, Jeff, because most of your books have been about sort of very big figures, big teams, very popular. This is something that is a little bit niche. What brought you to this subject?
I just figured I was at a point in my career where I could try something different, and I always loved the USFL. I mean, it's a big part of what I sort of have done in my career is, you know, find things that I'm nostalgic about and then dig into them, and there's nothing I was more nostalgic about than the USFL. It's my favorite league as a kid. It was the topic of my my senior year in high school, my final English paper, my 40-page paper on the USFL. I just always loved the league. So I was told repeatedly nobody wants a USFL book. So I didn't do it for a long time. And finally, I just was like, to hell with it. I'm writing this book. And here we are.
Let's get into the league a little bit. And I'm going to admit, it's college football season for me. I haven't had a chance to read your book. But I know a lot about the USFL, or at least a fair amount about the USFL. I will read your book because I've even tweeted at you. I'm actually pretty excited to read this book when I finally get a little time. What did the USFL sort of aspire to be at the beginning? Because we have a bunch of spring football leagues that are going to be popping up in the near future. One of them sort of, I think, aspires to be a complement to the NFL. I'm not really sure exactly what the XFL wants to be. We'll figure out more about that when it pops up. But back in 1983, I think it was, when the USFL started, what did it aspire to be?
Well, it wanted to be a professional spring football league that was really good, and that ultimately one day would be vying for players with the NFL. You know, the original idea was spring football, 18-game season, we're going to have regional drafts. So we'll have a general draft, but then regional draft. So presumably fans who watch their, you know, whatever their high school and college kids play at Penn State and Pitt, you know, and in Pennsylvania high schools before that would be able to see them with the Philadelphia Stars. Or if you're a Florida State fan, your quarterback is now playing for the Tampa Bay Bandits. And, you know, the idea was we're going to give you each one or two marquee players, and then otherwise it's going to be sort of guys who are on the fringe of the NFL. And that was just the idea, slow and steady growth. It was a great idea that just kind of got screwed up over time.
I followed along on Twitter as you were sort of researching for this book, and it sounded like your interviews were certainly in the hundreds. Did you get to like 1,000 on these interviews? How many people did you interview?
No, I interviewed about 430.
Okay.
Which was, it was so fun. I mean, it was just fun because it's like you said when you started this, you said like, I feel like I know the USFL, and I felt like I knew the USFL. And then you start digging into it, and it was just the craziest league of all time. And it existed at a time when, just to be blunt, I mean, cocaine was huge, and players were drinking, and steroids were everywhere, and airline travel could still be a little shaky as far as turbulence. And it was just this sort of crazy. And the USFL, yeah, they got Steve Young and Jim Kelly and Herschel Walker, but they were also taking guys out of prison, guys who, you know, last leg guys who had flunked out of the NFL. So it's like this really interesting merging of a million different people and lifestyles in one football league.
So you got a few superstars here and there, but the casting call for these teams must have been, you know, just comic book stuff, right? If you can delve into any of the sort of odd characters that were showing up to try out for the USFL, I can imagine some of the guys who didn't make it might have been as interesting as some of the guys who did.
So the first team to really sort of go after players were the Chicago Blitz, and their coach was the legendary George Allen. And George Allen was basically, we're going to win, we're going to dominate, we're going to win, where no stone goes unturned. So they auditioned more than 3,000 football players, and I actually got a bunch of their old files. And there are all these letters from, you know, my favorite is probably there was a defensive back from Georgetown College in Kentucky, and he wrote, I really think you should give me a chance. My 8 interceptions last season, and he misspelled interceptions with an E. So he, my 8 interceptions. And they would do these things. The Blitz did these things where they would have these giant tryout camps, and they'd give you a free T-shirt for coming out. And they would have hundreds and hundreds of people. And they had this one at Soldier Field one day where Bruce Allen, the general manager, was sitting in the stands. And if a player was impressive to the coaches, they'd send him up to Bruce Allen, and he would sign them to a contract. And there was one guy named Albert C. Lynch. He was a 5'8" linebacker who had never played football anywhere. And he notices the system. He notices that every now and then the good players are going up into the stands and they come away with a contract. So he decides after his crappy workout, he walks up into the stands and he signs a contract. And later on, Bruce Allen is going over the contracts with the coaches. And the coach is like, why did you sign Albert C. Lynch? He's like, I didn't sign Albert C. Lynch. Well, of course you did. Here's the contract. Well, you sent him to me. I didn't send him to you. And there was just a guy who figured out the system. And there were just a million. I mean, the Boston Breakers signed Dave Remington. They agreed to a deal with Dave Remington, the Outland Trophy winner out of Nebraska.
Great player.
And great player. And they, it's a very exciting day in the early edition of the Boston Breakers. And they fly him to Boston for a press conference and to sign his deal. And they go to Logan Airport to greet him, and he's not there. And it turns out someone was playing a prank on them and was pretending to be Dave Remington. And Dave Remington had no idea any of this was even going on. And the Breakers didn't double check. So they had to hold their press conference and announce that they'd been fooled by a fake Dave Remington.
There are some people involved in this who might be looking at it like, well, this is going to be a little weird. But there also might be the coaches like a George Allen who's thinking like, no, this is 100% serious. So for the guys like a George Allen or for some of the people who may have walked into this thing thinking like this could be a little like the NFL, what were those people thinking as you're sort of ragtag putting along these teams and you get hoaxes and things like that? Were anybody like, this is ridiculous? And were there others who were like, hey, man, this is just what we signed up for?
I think it was a mix, but I think even the ridiculousness was, I guess, tolerated or accepted because the football was actually really good. It wasn't like the XFL. You know, I hate when people compare it to the XFL.
Mm-hmm.
The USFL had legit talent up and down the rosters, and there were a lot of guys. You know, the first season was really emerging of a lot of it was like the wide receiver could run a
And welcome back to Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. We are going to get a live call in now from Brian Zenis, who's live at the Campfield East game. I'm Dom Joseph, along with Greg Goulis, and joining us now is Corey Christen. Corey, good to have you back. Welcome back.
It's really good to be back. It feels comfortable. It's home. It's nice to be back in an environment that you're used to. And, man, it's been a while since I've been on Blitz. Good to see you again, Greg, as well.
You were back at the other end. We're at this
end.
That's right. It feels good to be on this end. I like being back on this end.
We upgraded since you left.
We did okay.
And now we've upgraded with your return.
I try. I do what I can. Thanks for that, Greg. I appreciate it. Good to be back, guys.
Good to have you back.
All right, and so now joining us live is Brian Zenis. Brian, can you hear us?
9-2-1.
Hey, guys. I'm not sure if you can hear me that well. I'm not hearing much of anything out of you guys.
Well, we can hear you loud and clear, Brian. Just wanted to know what's going on in this Campfield East matchup. It's a close one at halftime.
Yeah, it's been pretty close at halftime, 7-6. Neither team has even crossed 90 yards of offense. I've got 89 for Campfield and 87 for East.
Brian, looks like the defenses have shown up over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Campfield's had some opportunities to pull ahead in this game. They've gotten into the red zone three times this half and haven't scored. Once they were stuffed on fourth down running the ball, and the other times penalties have taken them out of the red zone and forced them to punt. East's defensive line's doing a great job with Blaine Spires and I'm sorry, I'm probably going to butcher the name of this other kid. Yaboya, I think is this kid's name, like Terrence Yaboya. But they've both been putting great pressure on both of Canfield's quarterbacks, Max Dawson and Malin Klinkscale.
Well, Brian, it's been anything but in the blitz today. The Sports Illustrated cover curse has not hit East. East is playing really, really well. Steve Ruman's story today kind of depicted what East has gone through and how they've grown.
Oh, yeah, they've done, you know, pretty well this whole game. They still got a chance to stay in this. I feel like, you know, if their defense stands up, maybe, you know, nobody's had a turnover in this game yet. Or, I take that back. East fumbled, but you know, maybe if the East defense can get a turnover of its own, maybe you can they can break this open.
Brian, do you almost get the impression that whoever has the ball last might be the team that wins?
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with that, Greg.
And one more question before you go, Brian. What does Canfield need to do to get away from this East squad?
I think they could stay the course with what they're doing. They've gotten some pretty good runs out of Klinkscale. He's been the other quarterback that they've been using. He's their leading rusher with 45 yards, and most of that was on one drive. So maybe, you know, a little more Klinkscale. He's, I think, is, you know, he's probably averaging, you know, more than 5 yards a carry. You know, see what he can do. Give him more reps.
Well, conversely, Brian, then what does East have to do to play catch-up and then perhaps hold the lead? You know, 2 years ago with Brian Merrow at the helm in his first year, they had a hard time closing out a game. They've done anything but not be able to close out a game. They've been able to do that this year. So what do they have to do now?
They need a little bit more out of their offense. They've had a little bit of trouble with the center quarterback snap exchange. A few snaps have gone kind of high, and it's led to some plays with negative yardage. Just maybe clean things up a little bit, maybe get a little bit better at running the ball, and maybe sustain more longer drives and be able to score.
All right, Brian, thank you so much for tuning in and calling in to us. I really appreciate it, and have fun the rest of the night.
All right, thanks. You guys have fun.
Okay, Brian.
All right, thank you very much. And with that, we're going to go back to our break, and we're going to come back with some second-half highlights and get you some scores. So this is the Blitz Live presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at charliestaplesbbq.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken, always the crowd pleaser. Just Google charliestaplesbbq.com and place your order.
Your authorized Under Armour dealer. One source, one solution for all your printing and embroidery needs since 1989. Visit EagleWearInc.com for more info. Eagle Wear Inc., North Main Street, Hubbard, Ohio.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at CharlieStaplesBBQ.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken, always the crowd pleaser. Just Google CharlieStaplesBBQ.com and place your order.
Need tires? Call Flynn's First.
Where the advertised tire price is the entire price. And tell them Finney sent you.
These teams is good, solid offensive line play. Their defense has always been a hard-hitting defense.
This is Blitz Live. Blitz Live.
Flynn's Tire Technicians are Tire Industry Association trained and certified. That means you can trust the installation of your tires to professionals. Flynn's well-trained and certified tire technicians make it easy to buy tires. Welcome back to the Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Dom Joseph, Greg Goulis, and Corey Christen. Corey, I want to get your analysis on some of these games so far tonight. We've had some interesting ones, and I know you're excited to be back and want to talk
it's
about
like
some local high school
left,
football.
So right. Fill us in.
It doesn't feel like I left. It doesn't feel like it. I mean, that's the best thing about where we are in general, is that whether you're in Ohio or Western Pennsylvania, I got to give a tip of the cap to my neck of the woods over there. You have so many great teams around here, not just playoff contenders, but you get at least one, two, maybe three state title contenders every year. And it seems like it changes however so often. I don't know if it's
right.
I don't know if it's as long of a tenure. We see some of these programs obviously dominate and have success, but I think now lately we've seen these shorter bursts of just excellence from different programs.
Right. No,
this
I'd agree.
This year you're seeing it with LeBray, you're seeing it with Canfield, you're seeing it with Struthers and Hubbard. I mean, there are good teams. There's a handful of very good teams, state contending teams that are in this area. And we just talked with Brian about Canfield and East. In that battle that's going on there with Canfield entering as, you know, undefeated at East and the way they've played this season, that is just one of the many headliners of the week. And now we're getting into week 9 next week.
Yeah.
With, you know, just rivalries are starting to pump up. And these next 2 weeks of football are going to be outstanding in this area.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's take a look at some of these scores here before we continue on. United with a 27-0 lead on Letonia, extending it there in the second quarter. Austintown Fitch with a 20-9 lead on Erie McDowell. La Brea with a 33-14 lead on Brookfield. East Liverpool with a 27-0 lead on Buckeye Local. At halftime, Campfield is up 7-6 on East. Warren Harding with a 12-7 lead on Cardinal Mooney. Champion has a 14-0 lead on Camel. East Palestine has a 14-10 lead on Toronto. Indian Creek has a 14-0 lead on Beaver Local. At halftime, Kent Roosevelt with a 15-13 lead on Crestview. Columbiana at the half leads Lisbon 7-0. Jackson Milton has a 7-0 lead on Lowellville. At halftime, Southington 25, Matthews 0. In the second quarter, McDonald has a 48-6 lead on Sebring. So Sebring scored.
I was just going to tell you that.
Yeah, that's Sebring scored again.
Second touchdown of the year.
Yeah, good for them. Great to see there. They got on the board and against an undefeated McDonald's squad.
That's exactly
so,
right.
Good
They're
for them.
Scary this year. McDonald's very scary this year.
Yeah, McDonald's
There's a
good.
Few teams out there that almost, you get the impression, can score at will.
Yeah.
Girard's one of them. Western Reserve's one of them. La Brea is one of them. Hubbard's another one. Springfield Local is now up 50-0 in the second quarter on
right.
Mineral Ridge.
Yeah.
So you talk about teams that score at will. There's a good handful of teams, and a couple of them may not make the playoffs.
Yeah, and
that's
you
the
mentioned
funny part.
You mentioned Girard, second quarter, 61-0 on Newton Falls, second quarter. So continuing to go on is Girard. Poland with a 21-0 lead on Lakeview. At the half, Newbury 21, Pymatuning Valley 6. At halftime, Salem 20, Minerva 7. This is a halftime score as well. Louisville 14, South Range nothing. As you mentioned, Greg, it is 50-0 Springfield on Mineral Ridge. In the second quarter, Hubbard with a 14-0 lead on Struthers. At halftime, Boardman up 24-7 on Ursuline. At the half, Southeast with a 14-0 lead on Valley Christian. In the first quarter, Southern 30, Wellsville 14. Second quarter, Western Reserve 34, Waterloo nothing. Tie ball game in the second quarter between Windham and Grand Valley, 14 apiece. And at the half, West Holmes with a 21-0 lead on West Branch. And don't forget, tomorrow, Warren JFK takes on Gilmore Academy.
Does that West Holmes West Branch score surprise you?
It does, only because I thought Salem had a little bit of momentum behind them.
I thought West Branch was going to be able to air it out this week. I really did. And we've seen their pass offense come together all season. Brock Hillier is one of the top quarterbacks in the area, 617 yards. QBR north of 150. He's been very solid this season for them. I'm very surprised by that shutout so far.
I got another score update for you. Hubbard found the end zone again. It's 21-0 Eagles over the Struthers Wildcats.
And again, what we talk about scoring at will, boom.
Yep. Yeah, just like
that's
that.
21. That's 21 unanswered.
Yep, I would agree. Yep.
Struthers' defense, I think, the last couple weeks have struggled, haven't they?
Well,
yeah.
At least in
even,
conference play.
Even though they won 22-21 over Poland late 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago now, again, they had to go all the way deep. It's 16 seconds to go in the game before they did that, and they had to convert the two-point conversion in order to win. The defense has been suspect at times, and they really don't put a lot of points up on the board.
What do you have for the United Letonia game, Greg?
27-0 in
okay.
the second.
I just wanted to double check that and
yep.
make sure. Want to talk about the Warren Harding Cardinal Mooney game? Harding up 12-7 right now in the second quarter. Does it surprise you that, with how good Warren Harding's been so far this year, gave up two losses to the two
McKinley and Massillon.
McKinley and Massillon,
absolutely
two powerhouse schools there in Stark County, but struggling against Mooney at home.
I don't think we've had a problem with Mooney's defense. It's a problem with Mooney's offense putting points on the board.
Right.
And when you're behind, not so much, well, right now, what is it, 12-7?
12-7, yeah.
Not so much now, but when you get a three-possession game, it's tough, especially when you're going into late third quarter, early fourth quarter. When you have to do that, they're just not a team built to come from behind like that.
And they've had trouble finishing, to your point. You just kind of almost took the words out of my mouth. See, we got this thing still going. You almost took words
That's
out of
my mouth. That's scary for me, though. It should be scarier for you.
It might be. They haven't been able to finish this season, and that really concerns me, especially them being a playoff contender. They're likely going to be one of the top, two, maybe three at worst seeds in their tier. So I fear that their inability to put it together late in games, third quarter, fourth quarter, we've seen them struggle all season. That worries me as we approach these playoffs.
Well, look what's happening while you've been gone, okay? Last year, Cardinal Mooney played six games at home before they went on the road. Now they were on the road 16 games mm-hmm. before they came home to finish. It was the exact reverse this year. Same thing with Ursuline. Ursuline had 6 games at home, and now they're playing their final 4 on the road. And I don't know.
I don't know how schedule makers would be.
Well, and you know,
inclined to do that.
It's a good question. It's a quirk.
I don't get it. I really don't. I don't think that does any good. Lack of a better word. I think if you get a team that rolls on the road, might be different if they start on the road and they start off, you know, those 6 games 4-2.
And neither team has done that.
Yeah. So maybe it's a matter of opportunity for those schools. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I would have a hard time doing that. Yeah. Opening up 6 on the road. It would be nice to have your Final Four at home, especially if you put yourself in that position with those 6 road games. But like you said, those teams really haven't done that job this season. So what do the 4 home games in a row mean at the end of the season mm-hmm. if you go .500 or below with right. those first 6 road games? It really doesn't add up in the end if you do that.
Well, I mean, look at Ursuline right now. I mean, it's week 8, and you're on your 7th road game of the season here at Boardman, and your only home game was last week against Bishop Watterson, which you got the win, mm-hmm. but still... It would be nice to play at home once in a while.
I mean, I don't know if that has much to do with them being 0-6.
Yeah, right.
But it's got to factor in somehow.
Yeah. Eventually, the traveling gets troublesome and just painful, mm-hmm. in a sense. Just be struggling to just want to play at home. Just be able to just say, all right, we just get to walk right down the street to Stambaugh. But no, we got to get on these buses, take these long drives to mm-hmm. play these games that, and when you talk about Hoban, a game we don't even belong in.
And I mean, they're being outscored by 162 points
yeah.
in 6 games.
Yeah.
Quick math off my head, that's a large differential.
Yeah.
No matter how you scratch it. So
yeah.
there's got to be this happy medium that these schedule makers have to start finding, because yeah. that's got to be tough. I don't care how you scratch it. You start 0-6 or 6-0. Starting off those games on the road and you play 7 out of 8 on the road to start the season, I mean, that's got to be solved one way or another.
It's tough.
No, it's tough. It's very
now,
tough.
Now, how about this one? Columbiana is up 7-0. I think the biggest surprise is Lisbon.
Yeah, Lisbon.
After starting out 2-0, lost again to Valley Christian to start their downward spiral.
Yeah, I would agree. Just Lisbon starts out strong and just tapers off in the end.
Exactly.
I find that interesting that Lisbon squad, and even Columbiana, to go 0-3 to start the season.
We said after week 3, that when they won that first game in week number 4, that they were the best 0-3 team in the area, and that's been holding true right now. If they win this game, this is 5 in a row for them. They go to 5-3 with 2 games left.
And then you start asking the question, what happened those first 3 games? They couldn't get the win.
That's right.
But I mean, again,
two of those losses, though, Springfield Local, Western Reserve.
There you go.
And I'm keeping my eye on Struthers and Hubbard, because of undefeated teams and of teams that are really at the top 2 in their divisions, Struthers gives up the second most points to opponents. That defense has struggled for most of the season, as Greg said earlier. Hubbard has the ability to score pretty much whenever they want.
Right.
So that's what I'm concerned right now with Struthers, who entered this game allowing 123 points to opponents as opposed to scoring just 217. So that's less than 100-point differential for a team that's 5-2 and undefeated in their conference. You know, that worried me a little bit entering this, and it's kind of showing
now.
Look
at Hubbard's differential.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. Their defense has really short up this season.
Right, I would agree. I mean, just like you said, just the score differential for Struthers, it's 21-0 Hubbard at half.
And we said that Girard can score at will. Hubbard held them at bay until late.
Right.
Girard 61 tonight.
That's crazy.
It's impressive.
Just 61. I mean, it is Newton Falls, but still, put 61 up in a game, that's impressive. 61 in 2 quarters is something else, especially when you only have 24 minutes to do it.
And then my question is, you got the running clock.
Right.
Corey, let's talk about the running clock. I think we've talked about this before, and the fans that are watching us have gotten our take on it. What's your take on the running clock?
I don't know, because there's this, we talk about college football, when big teams go up, they start to put those second stringers in. You guys talked about it a little bit before I got on, how you put the second stringers in, but those second stringers are sometimes 4-star recruits, 4 or 5-star recruits that they were going to play anyway, if they were anywhere else. I think of it as twofold, because at the end of the day, you want to get everybody in the game, right? If you're a team like Girard, who's up 61-0 right now, you're going to want freshmen, you're going to want some sophomores, some JV kids to get in and play the game. Those are meaningful minutes to them. Now, on the flip side, when you have this running clock, I don't know if it's because we're all in a rush society and we have to have everything done as fast as possible, and maybe they're friendly to us with deadlines and whatnot, but no, it's not that. But running clock to me is a counterbalance between having those freshmen sophomores play and then it's rushing them back off the field. How do you really let those kids get the chance to not only gain valuable playing experience, because those are going to be the kids that are anchoring the programs within the next 2-3 years?
See, you're not rewarding the kids that played and helped you Monday through Friday to get prepared.
I don't think you are. I think you're actually rushing it in some ways. I mean, you made the joke. It was you or Champ that made the joke about get the film ready for next week. Let's get ready for next week. Well, that's a little bit less time, obviously, on the field for the team, so I might understand that. You know, for Newton Falls' sake, being down 61-0, get them off the field. But for Girard's sake, and even Newton Falls' sake, if you want to get freshmen, sophomores in, and I'm only using them as an example because of what's on the board
right
now, I think that it helps and it hurts in certain ways, and I feel like it might hurt that in certain ways because it doesn't get those younger kids the experience that they need to get on that field. It's invaluable when you get varsity time versus JV time.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much any sport. But particularly in football, when it's, first of all, so huge around here, in, like I said, with these kids getting into real game action in 2 and 3 years from now, think of the Girard Niles games that in the past have gone, you know, I remember a couple years ago, Greg, when we had Girard Niles that week one match, and it was neck and neck. I believe it was an overtime game. You're going to have kids that get that kind of experience that are now juniors and seniors on this team.
Sure.
So yeah. I think that you got to let these kids play it out in some ways. But, I mean, when you're Newton Falls and you're down like you are tonight, do you really want to sit there and let it sink in for these kids? Think of the other end of it. There's two sides of that coin.
Yeah.
You got to think of the losing end of it. That's got to be tough to be down like that. But, again, that gives those kids the chance to play.
Right. I do have another score update for you. At the half, Western Reserve is up 44-0 on Waterloo, to kind of add on to the running clock sort of deal there. And Reserve, one of those teams that's consistently putting themselves in that position.
Well, Western Reserve and McDonald are priming each other right now for next week.
Yeah, that'll be a fantastic matchup between
those
two.
That's the game of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a lot of good matchups next week.
We do.
You got Reserve, McDonald. You got Fitch and Boardman, I believe, was it? Or...
Yes, it is. Fitch.
Yeah, Fitch Boardman,
and then Mooney Ursuline. So it'll be a good week for football next week. But,
and that's what we want week 9.
Right, exactly.
We don't want anything that we have to worry about.
LeBray Girard as well.
That'll be a great ball game.
That'll be a very good ball, especially if LeBray can really take care of business against Brookfield. That surprised me that Brookfield was able to kind of give them a little bit of a scare there in the first.
Well, they put two scores up on them.
Yep. But LeBray.
Not too many teams have been putting two scores up on LeBray.
Exactly. Yeah.
Poland currently up 21-0. They get Hubbard next week, too. That's going to be a good confidence builder going into that game.
Yeah, and they need it for a team like Hubbard. And I want to say, with this 21-0 lead that Hubbard has, I want to say Poland was in the same position against Struthers at home. I believe they had them 21-0.
They were.
And look what happened in the second half. So Struthers can't sleep on this, just saying, oh, we got them shut out at half. I think
it was 14-7, Dom.
Was it 14-7?
It was 14-7, then it went to 21-7.
Okay. All right. But still, you can't sleep on Struthers no matter what the score is at the half. This is a team that's very resilient will give you everything in
that
second half.
Well, they're not going to give up.
Oh, absolutely.
That's not the mark of a Kirk Coons team.
I was looking at the blitz picks this week in today's edition.
Don't look at mine.
I was looking at it today, and there's not much parity in what the experts here at the Vindicator and at 21WFMJ think. It's a pretty black-white board, I think. Nice one. It's pretty black-white board. I mean, really, the only game that had any sort of conflict was, what, Kent Roosevelt? About an 8-3 split, but that's still a pretty wide margin. I mean, a lot of these games were 11-0 decidings, 10-1 decidings, 9-2s. I think that the board this week kind of dictated...
Yeah.
You know, not much parity, but we've seen a couple of the teams that really have been impressive this week, namely Girard, namely Hubbard. I think that those two teams going into next week are going to be ready to go.
Yeah, I think next week's Blitz picks are going to be all over the place, considering the kind of matches we're going to have. We do have a live update for you. Let's go out to Tom Williams, who's at the Boardman-Ursuline matchup, where it is 24-7 at the half. Let's hear what he has to say and what Boardman's been doing right.
This is Tom Williams at Spartan Stadium in Boardman, where Boardman is a 24-7 lead on Oslin at halftime. Michael Cora has run for 2 touchdowns and also thrown a touchdown pass to Nate Thompson for the Spartans. Tom Sprida gave a 26-yard field goal as time expired for the Irish. Brady Shannon hit Deshaun Harris for a 15-yard touchdown early in the second quarter.
All right, so there you have it from Spartan Stadium.
They've extended their lead.
Yeah, just taking care of business against the Irish. And let's all be honest, to be expected. You're not going to have a good time against Boardman at Boardman when you have a 1-6 when they have a 1-6 record. Regardless of what Harding did last week.
I was going to say, look what they did last week. And they put themselves in a position to win late, only they, missed a 28-yard field goal? Was that it? I think it was a 28-yard field goal.
Yeah, it was like 20 or 26-yarder.
Wide left.
And again, that's something we talked about last week, too, the importance of, I mean, yes, it is high school football. It's high school football. You need to get points in any way, shape, or form, knowing that you don't have as much time as you would in college or NFL. So having that kicker is just means even more in high school football.
You know, over a decade ago, Boardman had a kicker named Andrew Good. Andrew Good, every time he kicked off, it was out of the end zone, and he had range up to 50 yards. He was deadly. He was deadly. What a weapon. He was a weapon.
We've seen some special teams, I think, even in the pros in the NFL. How important, it just goes to show, is special teams for a team's success. You see these games that are decided by 2 points, 3 points, 1 point. I mean, kicking an extra point now, I mean, just in the NFL alone is a chore anymore, it seems like.
Well, exactly, yeah, like, right. Let me ask you that. Are you happy to see that now it's no longer a chip shot, that they don't even have to take the steps to the ball and just whack it in? Now it's... You actually have to think about kicking the extra point?
Well, I don't think it should be an issue that they moved it back. That's the problem.
Right.
It's the quality, and I can't believe we're doing this, it's the quality of kickers in the NFL. It sounds so silly to think about, but when you have a guy that can, first of all, put it out of bounds on a kickoff,
right,
instead of letting a guy try to return it back. You know, we saw kind of the surgence of the kick returner. At least in my time, it was Dante Hall of the Chiefs. It was Oz Hakim with the Rams. I mean, it was guys like that that teams started to sign just because of speed. Now you have guys that can kick, and like Justin Tucker, for example, and Greg Zuerlein of the Ravens and Rams, respectively. These guys don't give you a chance to return it at all. And even punters do the same thing. You put a guy like Tariq Hill from the Chiefs back there, you're not kicking it to him. You're kicking it out of bounds. So the way that special teams has changed, even over the past 5 years, how long has this new kickoff rule been instated? Not even 10 years. Ever since, really, they started doing that, you've noticed that, these kickers need to start figuring that out.
Yeah.
And they haven't done it yet. You see these NFL games that are lost. I mean, look at the Browns, for example, right? I know it's a sore subject for now. That's a team. I'm not a Browns fan, so I can do this. My team's 5-0. I can do this.
The Browns. Who's your team?
L.A., the Rams.
Oh,
always been a Rams fan.
There you go.
The Browns are 5-0 with a viable kicker. Their point margin in every game they played this season is 13 points.
They're better with Goff under center, though.
With Goff under center. Oh, no, they're better with McVay on the sidelines. That's
true.
Are.
Yeah.
The Browns, all five games have been decided by 13 points. And here's this is my favorite fun fact of all. Every true outcome of a football game, I'm going off on a tangent because I love this stat.
Yeah.
Every true outcome of a football game has been in Cleveland's first five games. Overtime win, overtime loss, tie, regulation win, regulation loss. The Browns have done all five in the first 5 weeks. That's never happened before.
Well, sounds about right.
But that's all by a 13-point margin. If the Browns have a kicker, they are 4-1 or 5-0.
Right.
So if you have a guy that can change the game like Justin Tucker or Greg Zuerlein or like... The Rams signed Cairo Santos. Why wasn't he picked up by Cleveland? Something like that. Now you're going to up the quality of kickers in college and in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about guys from around here that have made it elsewhere and that have kicked in successful programs around here. Those scholarships are invaluable to those programs that are recruiting kickers anymore.
Right.
And it's almost like if you have a good kicker, it's like having a good running back. Maybe not to that extent. But the way it's not only an extra weapon, but it gives you that reassurance that we don't have to worry about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think now that you're going to see the quality of kickers increase, you're going to see the quality of special teams increase, and you're going to start to see teams plan for certain packages in special teams. It's such a changing game, and it's a changing art now.
So yeah, it's gone from we need to find the end zone to once we get across the 50, we're guaranteed points.
And that's what happens with some teams. If you're LA or Baltimore, I use Zuerlein and Tucker as prime examples because they can kick 60 yarders if you need them to.
Consistent.
I'm not saying every kicker needs to do that, but you got to have a kicker that can confidently make it out from what, 40, at least, and not just in the pros, college.
In the pros, the 50-yard field goal is now the 60-yard.
It is.
Field goal.
Yeah. But I think you need a kicker that can confidently make it from 45 and beyond. If you're in high school, if you can kick a 30-yarder, that's a good start.
Yeah. Your extra points now are chip shot field goals from before.
They are. Yeah. So I think that just changes the landscape of how you improve your special teams. And even on kickoffs, you're putting your most dangerous player. The Steelers put Antonio Brown back there to return punts.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want anyone else back there if I'm Pittsburgh. But when you have punters on the other team that know better than to not kick it to them, they're going to kick it out of bounds every time.
And that eliminates
the chance of any sort of big play happening.
As a punter, as a former punter myself, the one goal is, I mean, yes, you want distance, but just get it up as high as you can. The longer of a hang time, the quicker your team can get down there and make a fair catch.
It makes sense. It makes total sense to not only plan for your kicking game instead of just booting it, but having the methodical gunners and having the methodical people around the edges to block on a field goal. I mean, there's so much more that's being invested into special teams. You know, they say analytics aren't in football. I think that's a lie.
Yeah. Oh, it's the science behind everything and, like, every position, regardless of what it is, it's just unbelievable, especially just in the game of football itself. And, I mean, every sport in general, too. But
let's change the landscape for 1 second. Warren Harding has just taken a 19-7 lead.
That is true, yes. It is now Warren Harding, 19-7 over Cardinal Mooney. Wanted to see if anything else. Yes, East Liverpool has extended their lead against Buckeye Local in big numbers. It is 41-8, East Liverpool over Buckeye Local. East Palestine with a 21-16 lead over Toronto now. Still 7-6 Canfield against East. Third quarter, here's a good one. Columbiana scored again. It's 14-0 Clippers over Lisbon. And looking to see here if any most of these games are still in halftime, getting ready to go for the second half. So, yep, that's all we've gotten for right now. But, yeah, just Warren Harding. All they need to do is just pad that score.
I think when you look at week one that they lost to Canton McKinley 28-14, week two when Maslin beat them, or week three, they probably grew more in those two games than they did in any other game. And look at that. They're on the verge of going to 6-1.
Yeah. It's an incredible run that these Raiders have been on.
Four years ago, this game had the luster in week number eight. It doesn't have that luster right now.
Right.
Means a lot for Harding. Means a lot for Cardinal Mooney, but it just doesn't have... It's not what they talked about, you know, your friends, my friends, everybody in a, you know, at the coffee shop. All week they were talking about a game. This isn't that game that they were
talking about.
Why
do you think that is?
I don't know.
What do you think changed? I mean, I'm just curious.
I think a lot of things have changed in the landscape. There's less kids participating. Moms and dads are worried about the concussion protocol.
That's a whole other episode of Blitz.
That's exactly right. You know, I'll tell you what. I have a replaced knee. I got one 7 years ago this February. I was angry at my mom and dad for not signing that paper that let me play football. I thank myself every single day that they didn't do that, and I still had to get a replacement, probably from baseball.
I play golf, so I think I'm good for. I think I'm good on knees for now.
Don't talk to Tony Champ Summers about that. And by the way, he has a detached retina from playing golf.
I just had a heart
the
procedure done.
The
so
contact sport golf, you can have it.
I just had a heart procedure done, so I'm not going to...
The stress of golf has gotten to you.
I think it has. That's the problem. It's probably my short game.
Did a lot of talk about NFL. We just talked about Warren Harding. You grew up in an era where Harding produced mega NFL talent.
Oh, my
gosh. Talk about that. Like, we mention this all the time. Of course, Claret, Manningham... And Heron, just what was it like to be able to just, like, Saturday morning watch the highlights and just see, like, these guys are playing high school football?
Yeah, I mean, these guys were in my backyard.
Men among boys.
Playing not long ago.
Right.
I think we've seen it, to Greg's point, like he mentioned before, about participation and about kids playing and about parents being okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think back in, I don't want to say back in my day, I'm not that...
I was going to say, how old are you?
I'm 25.
I was going to say, you're only 4 years older than me.
I'm going to be 25 again.
But But I think because the landscape of the game changes so quickly, mm-hmm. you see guys that get into these power schools almost every year when I was, I guess, per se, growing up. I don't know how weird that sounds weird. But when I was a teenager growing up watching Ohio State football, it was Beanie Wells, Boom Heron, Marty Manningham at Michigan, guys that you mentioned, Maurice Claret. I remember the Buckeye championship team like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But now I think it's becoming almost an honor to get that scholarship anymore. I mean, it was so common, you know, what, 10 years ago now, to mm-hmm. have players from around here just go. Just mm-hmm. shuffle them off, go off wherever. Now you see guys like Andrew Armstrong. Shout out, go Cuse.
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to him, too. I went to school with him.
I got a shout out to
Cuse. But here's a guy that signed originally at Bowling Green and followed Dino Babers to Syracuse.
I love Dino Babers. He's really got that program going, but that's absolutely right. You've seen coaches that go from those mid-levels that take kids like that with them.
Well, Urban Meyer
Armstrong
did that.
Yep.
Look at Armstrong. I mean, yes, he was supposed to go to Bowling Green, but now he's at an ACC school, and he's doing phenomenal for them.
I think he's the fourth linebacker they rotate in. They lost a couple guys in the NFL, Paris Bennett and Zaire Franklin, last year, and now he's one of the four players. He was a captain at Pitt last week. Mm-hmm. By the way, I think Pitt might give Notre Dame trouble.
Do they have game
trouble.
Captains? Is that what they do at Syracuse?
You think Pitt gives Notre Dame a run?
If Pitt successfully runs the ball like they did against Syracuse, Pitt ran for 300 yards on Syracuse. And Syracuse's D-line has been playing well all season. They held Florida State in check. They held just about everyone they played in check in the run, except Clemson, who they lost to the week before. They let Travis Etienne run for 200 yards. And this week they let Quadri Olison and Darren Hall, Fitch product, mm-hmm. run for a 190 and 107, respectively. So I think if Notre Dame has trouble stopping the run, then Pitt can give them a run for their money. Now, Kenny Pickett, Pitt's quarterback, has to be the difference in that game.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go off on the side tangent because you guys talked about it before I got on here.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed watching Andrew Armstrong play. Mm-hmm. You know, coming from a program like Cardinal Mooney and going to follow Dino Babers
it's
from
a three-sport
Bowling Green
to
Syracuse.
Too. Remember that.
I think that's such an important thing. Getting kids to play not just football, not just basketball. You got to get them playing basketball, running track, whatever it may be. Football, soccer.
Because, like, even then, like, if you commit to one sport, like, just say if you want to run track or play basketball, that increases your vertical or something like that. Like, increases your stamina, being able to play more down, stuff like that. It's vital.
It's different, and the science behind it has changed so much. You know, just everything in football has changed because of science.
Right.
And I think that now when you go down to recruiting, there's obviously been a good pedigree of football to come from where we're at. But I think now you're seeing, I don't want to use the word singling out, the phrase singling out, but I think now you're seeing the elite talent from around here get exposed just as much, if not more, than before because of those analytics.
And I'm going to coattail that real quick. You have a guy in Canfield, Mark Porter, scoutingohio.com. He has done a lot for everybody in this area who plays football, not just at the Division I level, the FCS level, Division II and III as well. His report, which a lot of universities, I think he has over 100 D1s that subscribe to his service, they look at that report and, well, maybe he's not a Division I player, but doggone it, he could be a good D2 or D3 player.
And then, even if these players get recruited by MAC schools, for example, I mean, think of Ohio U, think of Kent, think of Akron, Bowling Green. You know, when Dino Babers was at Bowling Green, this is the perfect ride because Andrew Armstrong right here, Canfield, or Cardinal Mooney rather, there he goes down to Bowling Green, MAC school. You gotta think Babers had that film from Scouting Ohio.
Oh, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And then Babers gets hired at Syracuse. There goes Armstrong. Now he's rotating in. If he's not starting, he's the first one off the bench as a linebacker with the Orange.
Yeah, that's huge, too, to be able to just say, like, as you're going to Syracuse, you come in to the coaching staff room and just say, hey, I got this kid from Youngstown that I got to bring with me. He committed to Bowling Green. I had that connection with him, but he's got to come to Syracuse with us.
I like talking Cuse football. We could do this more often.
Yeah, there you go.
That's my school, man. Go Orange.
Yeah,
we could do it in the 11th week.
When they're not playing in the when they're not ranked. You know, we could do that in the 11th week, I suppose.
Talk about Syracuse basketball. I always pull for Syracuse in basketball. Just got to love that squad.
They were media day today. I missed it. The women's team's going to be great, too. Don't sleep on Syracuse women's hoops. But Syracuse men's hoops, they'll be top 20. Tice Battle will be in the NBA next year. I can't wait. I'm ready for Cuse hoops.
Should be exciting. And You mentioned Pitt, and I got Greg and Champ's opinion on this too. What do you think? Go back to the royal blue and gold or stick to what they got?
I saw the royal blue and gold Saturday. Uh-huh. They wore them against Syracuse, and I liked it.
It looks good.
I liked it. I think once they melt away the blue and gold they have now, and if they try to pump more of it in, you see the Rams do it, the Los Angeles Rams, with the old Greatest Show on Turf jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost every home game now. I think they only had two out of the eight home games with the regular standard blue and golds.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have them wearing the Greatest Show on Turf, the Kurt Warner jerseys, Torrey mm-hmm. Holt, the Isaac Bruce, and fans love them.
Right.
The same thing is going to happen at Pitt, eventually. Mm-hmm. I'm all in on it. I think 90s retro and 80s retro are like slowly starting to be the new...
We saw Miami do it for a couple of years.
It's always been a fad, but I think 90s retro is going to slowly start creeping up as the newest thing.
Right.
And you're going to start seeing that. I think it should work. I think it would work in Pitt, and I think people would buy into it.
Right. I'd agree. I want to look here. I had another score update for you guys. It is 21-0 Columbiana over Lisbon, so the Clippers have scored yet again in that one, and are now starting to distance themselves from the Bears. The Bears game...
And this would make them 5-3, five wins in a row.
Yeah, yeah, but that's huge for Columbiana.
It is.
A team that started off slow. It is 32-0 Southington over Matthews. That game's in the third quarter. McDonald and Sebring have gone to the fourth quarter now, 49-6 Blue Devils in that one. And it is in the third quarter, Jackson Milton 13, Lowellville nothing. And third quarter, East Palestine 29, Toronto 16. And as of right now, that is all we've got score change-wise. Oh, actually, Southern has a 30-20 lead now on Wellsville. Wellsville got some points there. Third quarter, Louisville 20, South Range 6. So South Range did get on the board. And third quarter, Southeast 14, Valley Christian 8. And that's all we've got right now. And so far, so good with some of these other games. We kind of saw the way that they're going is how we saw them coming. Hubbard taking care of Struthers right now. And Austintown Fitch still in good shape against Erie McDowell. And United still shutting out Laetonia.
It's rare to not see any upsets on the board.
Right.
It really is rare to see that. Usually one or two or three teams squeaks by and surprises us and goes against the proverbial strength.
According to my picks, there's a few upsets.
Really? Well, you might be upset. Yeah, I was going to say, you might be
upset.
Kyle, quit laughing.
My picks are pretty clean.
You're the one that helped me pick them.
Shout out to Kyle, by the way. Great job on a production end.
You're doing a good job, Kyle.
Just kidding, Kyle. South Range, feel bad for.
Yeah, South Range, it is last time I checked.
My school
feel bad for Camel?
It is 27-6.
Shaking his head now.
Louisville over South Range.
My school doesn't have a football team, so I'm going to...
Oh, there you go.
Sit out here. Kennedy Catholic hasn't had a football team for, what, 5 years now?
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
And they used
That's
to be
a shame.
Really
yeah.
good. We're really good
I
over
guess
there.
Firebirds? Was that the name?
Those were the little ones.
The
Golden
little
Eagles
ones.
Are the...
Golden
Eagles.
Okay, yeah, because when I played, I knew the Firebirds.
I haven't gotten an update on it, but Wilmington playing Sharpsville tonight's a big one over in Pennsylvania. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Looking over for the PA scoreboard, I'll check that at the break, but... No, I think the scoreboard tonight's very interesting because there are no real big upsets. That nothing really shocking us tonight, which is a rarity.
No real true threats.
There is another score update. Boardman has scored again. It's 31-7 over Ursuline.
Wow.
So kind of just finalizing that one with the Irish and pulling away in that one. Thought I saw another one. It just slipped right by me. Nope, we're all good. Everything else has stayed the same. Oh, here we go. LeBray 40, Brookfield 14, and now LeBray's gonna LeBray. And just put up monster
points. Right there.
Yep, I'm just taking care of business. But so far so good for the Vikings. They had a scare at the beginning against Brookfield, but you got to give props to Brookfield for giving them a tough time at the beginning for sure.
They're just not as tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just didn't have it there at the end.
If this score in the LeBray Brookfield games holds, LeBray would outscore conference opponents 287-40. I think you want to talk about why they have success. I mean, when you have teams in your division, like Girard, for example, 3-0 in the conference, you have Liberty at 3-1, but then the rest of the conference, or rest of the blue tier, is under 500.
Well, when you look at that disparity, we talk about their offense. Look at their defense.
It's one of the best in the Valley.
Yeah.
If not, I'm not going to say the best, but they've been one of the stories of the year here, without a question.
Corey, if you watched us early in the year, you saw Laetona go to 3-0. They hadn't had three wins in forever.
Yeah.
And reality set in. I mean, you played the right three teams to start the season,
yeah.
Right, Dom?
Yeah.
You go
agree.
To 3-0. We were calling for a parade in downtown Laetona. and then, no, seriously, they're still a good feel. It's still a feel good story because
absolutely.
Of what Paul Julia has done going down to Laetona. I mean, they're on the verge of their fifth loss in a row. But this team fights. This team is in the game. The opponents know that Laetona is no pushover anymore. And I credit Paul Julia and his coaching staff for doing that. Along with a bunch of kids that are buying in to the system. You don't have these wins unless they're buying in to what you're trying to sell.
Yeah, absolutely.
A new coach comes in trying to sell what he sells. It's tough. Yep.
That's a close division.
But he had a reputation, too, going in.
Yeah. That athletic conference, though, that Eastern Ohio Athletic Conference, is a very close division. Laetona is at 3-4, and I mean, you got Southern in there at 6-1. There's not much parity there. That's a pretty tight. I mean, 6-1, 5-2, 4-3, 3-4, 2-5. I mean, that's pretty well knit when you look at it from that perspective. I mean, you got a few conferences still with winless teams, but I mean, when your weakest link, de facto, it has two wins. That's impressive for this point of the year.
Absolutely. All right, well, we are going to take our final break of the night, and then we are going to wrap things up here when we come back and get some of these final scores coming in as these games begin to go to the fourth quarter. So be sure to stick around. You're listening to the Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service.
Hi, I'm Joe Flynn. For a great deal on tires, just drive in any Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Or you can just call us.
Remember, Flynn's does more than just tires. From brakes and mufflers to scheduled maintenance and general repairs, Flynn's does it all. Go to FlynnsTire.com for money-saving coupons.
For dependable tires and expert service, go to Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Visit FlynnsTire.com to request an appointment.
And tell them Finney sent you.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at CharlieStaplesBBQ.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken. Always the crowd pleaser. Just Google CharlieStaplesBBQ.com and place your order.
We are Venture Salem. We produce the fascias, trim elements, and interior plastic components used on millions of cars today. We are a great place to start building a career from the ground up as a light industrial laborer, robotics operator, team leader, and more. Begin your career with Venture Salem. Apply today at jobs.ventra.com. Venture Salem, where careers are built.
Eagle Wear Inc., your authorized Under Armour dealer. One source, one solution for all your printing and embroidery needs since 1989. Visit EagleWearInc.com for more info. Eagle Wear Inc., North Main Street, Hubbard, Ohio.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at CharlieStaplesBBQ.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken, always the crowd pleaser. Just Google CharlieStaplesBBQ.com and place your order. Place your order.
Lines in the sky, you and I, we are only time, and I don't know.
pants are golden, so are my sisters and brothers. This family's my stone and my wife's my whole life. So what keeps me broken is how we're only a moment. 'Cause you and I, we were drawn like lines in the sky. Lines in the sky. Lines in the sky. One moment, one try. Lines in the sky. You and I, we are only time. And I don't know about this. How do we live like this? How do we live like this? Hold me while I'm up. Don't let me look back down. You're all the hope I've got. Hit any solid ground. Hold me while I'm up. Don't let me look back down. You're all the hope I've got. That we are more than now. Lines in the sky. Lines in the sky, one moment, one flight. Lines in the sky, you and I, we are only time. And I don't know about this. How do we live like this? How do we live like this? How do we live like this? Just lines in the sky. Lines in the sky. Should I hang it up, or should I hang it up? And I made almost every Sunday with my family as a kid. Oh, but in recent years, the church of doubt is preaching in my ear, and it makes a lot of sense. And there's no politics. I know a feeling lies awake in my chest. There's a point in all of this. A feeling lies awake in my chest that I can't. Got a reason why, and I'm pretty sure my heaven's just the answer to my questions. And in getting up each day, I think we all display some trust. But when there's so much hell around us, God, I get the atheist. But I have been in love, and I have seen some good. A feeling lies awake in my chest, that something gives in all of me. A feeling lies awake in my chest that I can't. Something. I think science and a story aren't mutually imperfect. I doubt life's a black hole or sorting of the souls. And I know it isn't popular to talk about these things. Oh, and I mean to make no sermon, you and I can disagree. There's been no decree beyond our own beliefs. Nothing's gonna make me change.
I'm a man of faith. I'm a man of faith. I am not ashamed.
Stay. I'm couldn't pay it.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at charliestaplesbbq.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken, always the crowd pleaser. Just Google charliestaplesbbq.com and place your order.
Authorized Under Armour dealer. One source, one solution for all your printing and embroidery needs since 1989. Visit EagleWearInc.com for more info. Eagle Wear Inc., North Main Street, Hubbard, Ohio.
It's time to order the barbecue. Order online at CharlieStaplesBBQ.com. Barbecue ribs and chicken, always the crowd pleaser. Just Google CharlieStaplesBBQ.com and place your order.
Need tires? Call Flynn's first.
Where the advertised tire price is the entire price. And tell them Finney sent you.
These teams is good, solid offensive line play. Their defense has always been a hard-hitting defense.
This is Blitz Live. Blitz Live.
If you're not an expert in tire specifications and you don't know what tire is best for your vehicle, Flynn's well-trained sales associates can find the right tires for your needs. Flynn's is your hometown tire and auto service experts. Welcome back to the Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Dom Joseph, Greg Goulis, and Corey Christen back with you. And Greg, we've got some final
just
scores
got
in.
Just got the right tire.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, just got the right tire.
I didn't know the thing moved.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it just stood there on top of the box and then gravity let that wheel go, and that thing looks, that's impressive.
Corey, most tires go around and round.
Sometimes.
Most of them.
Sometimes.
Unless you're watching the Flintstones.
Meet the Flintstones. Don't make me finish the...
We digress. Song. Got some finals coming,
sorry,
right,
Dom?
Dom?
Sorry, Dom. Us old guys over here. I'm just joking. Back in my day when I watched the Flintstones. I'm
right.
Joking. I'm making...
Right.
Hey, wait a minute. I watched them in prime time.
There you go.
I watched them Saturday morning.
All right, we got some final scores for you guys now, and let's go through them as we go here. United has defeated Letonia 34-0, another shutout of the Bears. Warren Harding protects home turf at Mollenkopf Stadium. They defeat the Cardinal Mooney Cardinals 19-7. McDonald takes care of the Sebring Trojans 55-6. Good to see the Trojans score, though.
They did.
And final score in the Girard Newton Falls game, 61-6 in favor of the Indians of Girard. And as of right now, those are all the final scores we have in so far. But looking at our fourth quarter scores, LeBray has a 47-14 lead on Brookfield. It is still Canfield 7, East 6 in the fourth quarter. And that game will definitely go down to the wire for sure. Got another real close one in the fourth. Kent Roosevelt 22, Crestview 20. In the fourth quarter, Jackson Milton 20, Lowellville nothing. And fourth quarter, Newberry 34, Pymatuning Valley 12. Fourth quarter, Salem 34, Minerva 7. And fourth quarter, Southeast 28, Valley Christian 16, Southern 38, Wellsville 20. That's in the fourth quarter as well. Grand Valley has a 27-14 lead on Wyndham. And West Holmes has a 23-6 lead on West Branch. And Louisville with a 27-6 lead on South Range. So far so good with some of these finals. Surprising to see Harding only get 19 points, but able to protect home turf against a strong Mooney defense. And again, Mooney can't get anything going.
Well, Champ just texted us with 6 minutes and 16 seconds to go. It's now Hubbard 41-0.
Wow. And just continuing to do what Hubbard does best, and that's run up that score.
And Struthers is not a bad ball club.
Right.
No. You've shut them out and put 40 in. It's your seventh touchdown.
We'd have to hear a little more context from that
sixth
game.
Touchdown.
Yeah.
We'd have to hear a little more context from that game because it's a very uncharacteristic game that Struthers played. You know,
yeah.
Not as much giving up 41, but not scoring is what concerned me about them.
Right.
I agree with that, Clark.
A couple more finals for you. The Louisville-South Range game has gone final. Final score 27-6. The Leopards take down Kyle's South Range Raiders. Oh, Kyle, I'm so sorry. And we'll get them next week when you're at the game.
Go back to eating your sloppy Joe now.
Right.
I'm not going to rip on that. I'm jealous of him. I'm hungry.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Poland has defeated Lakeview 28-0. So Poland wins the Battle of the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's not a surprise there either.
Right.
You know, Lakeview has had their share of injuries this year, and they also won a few ball games in between. So,
Big win for them.
And I think what's more important about Poland is that they were in control in this game. We've seen them kind of go off the rails a little bit in a couple of these games there that you felt like Poland could have pulled out and won, but today, going up 7-0 from the start, and then it just kind of expanded from there. Poland really never let Lakeview, by looks and just by hearing what we're hearing, that Poland really had a grasp on it the entire game. They played a consistent football game.
They didn't give them any sort of hope.
Look what happened 2 weeks ago. Poland loses 22-21 late, gets shut out by East last week.
Mm-hmm. That was a home game, too.
That's right. They turned the tables this week.
It's a big response win.
And another couple more final scores here. Southington has shut out Matthews 45-0. Big win for Southington Chalker, and I believe that puts them at 6-2.
That's exactly what it does.
So that's a huge...
What's that final again?
45-0.
Wow.
For the Chalker Wildcats over the Matthews Mustangs. And another one, this will be tough for Greg to hear. Champion has defeated Campbell 21-0. And the Golden Flashes get their second win of the season.
And It's what Campbell's season's been all about. Can't put any points on the board.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but talking about this Chalker team, Southington 6-2, a great year that they're having.
Letonia was that feel good story early. Southington has become that feel good story right now.
Right, and Southington lost to Letonia. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Southington beat Letonia.
Southington beat Letonia.
Wait a minute.
I believe Southington lost to Letonia.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I'll double check that, but still, just a great year for this Southington squad.
Southington going to 6-2, assuming Wyndham goes to 7-1. I mean, you think Southington gets in?
I think Southington gets in.
Greg?
Wow, that's a good question.
I think.
You know,
Southington,
this is where we need Champ with those secondary points. I don't know the secondary points right now, but at 6-2 and. All indications are that they're going to finish strong.
Conference record at 3-1.
They're right there on the cusp.
Mm-hmm. Grand Valley would obviously fall to 3-1 in the conference. Wyndham would be 4-0 in the conference. So Southington would squeak right into second place. I mean, that's a tight. That conference is really tight. That Northeastern Athletic.
Yes, it is.
That division is a really tough one right now.
So Letonia did beat Southington. 14-13.
That's what it was.
It was a one-point game. So
they're gonna want that game back.
Right. So, just crazy to see. You look at how well this Chalker team did, and now look at what's happened to this Letonia team. Hard to believe, like you said, that
1 point
Letonia got them
from 7-1.
Exactly. And looking through here, Boardman still at the 31-14 lead on Ursuline. 41-0 Hubbard over Struthers, and again, like you mentioned, Corey, just surprising to see Struthers struggling to even find the end zone. I think what we're all anticipating here is the final score of that Campfield East game, with Campfield holding on, as of right now, to a one-point lead against East, but this is an East team that's good at home. Look what they did to Ursuline, took care of Ursuline at home, and this is a Campfield team still undefeated and fighting for their lives. And I think Canfield should be able to hold out, but we'll see.
Yeah. We don't know who has the ball. I wish we knew the time.
Right.
I know that game wasn't being broadcast either, so that's a game that probably should have been broadcast.
I'm sure we'll hear from Brian later. I wanted to get into this Warren JFK Gilmore Academy matchup tomorrow, because is it a must-win for JFK?
I think after the way they beat Champion in the first game, what, 18-15?
Yes, it was a close.
Late, yep. And then they went on a four-game losing streak. They've won their last two games by shutout.
Mm-hmm.
I would guarantee you this is a must-win.
Yep, I would agree.
It would get them. It would get them to 500.
But Gilmore Academy is 7-0, though.
It's a tough one.
That's the task.
Plus, they're 4-0 at home.
It's a tough one. But
there's all those secondary points. That's exactly right. There's those secondary points we've talked about. Mm-hmm. If they can pull off the W.
It's a tough one, but they've played competitive football the last couple of weeks. And I mean, they haven't allowed a point in their conference yet. They're 2-0 in conference games. They've won those by a margin of 82-0. So their defense has shored up in the last few weeks. I'm concerned that if JFK loses this game, they're gonna be out. I mean, it's gonna be rocky road for the last couple weeks of the season, and you know they're in some serious danger if they lose tomorrow.
Well, that puts them 3-5 too.
Mm-hmm.
Two more final scores for you: the Columbia Clippers have shut out the Lisbon Blue Devils 41-0.
Wow!
And the La Brea Vikings survive and defeat the Brookfield Warriors 54-21. It's interesting we say survive after a 30-point victory.
Yeah,
but
that's not surviving. That's still figuring it out.
Yeah, exactly.
They figured it out.
Yeah,
is what they did. La Brea, I think La Brea has been the story of this season. Just
offense is too much.
Going from expectation to what we've seen from them this year. I mean, they're able to do just about anything on offense. Benton Tennant, one of the top receivers in the Valley, average of 25 yards a catch. I mean, just that passing attack from La Brea there, it helps them get those points on the board. But they haven't shown any weakness this season. That's the thing. Some of these teams that are peaking at about 7-0 or even at 6-1 right now, they've had one game or a couple games where it's been closer than we thought, or they squeaked out wins, or maybe they even lost. But La Brea all season long, allowing 53 points entering this week, and now giving up 21. I don't know when you win by 33, if you
better
can
change the defense.
Yeah, I don't know if you can do that, but I mean, just all season they haven't shown anything to slow down, and this is a scary team as we enter the last couple of weeks.
Well, La Brea in their division, I think would be a good analogy to say is like Hubbard in their division.
Mm-hmm. I would say so. And next week, that's what, La Brea and Girard. That's probably game of the week next week.
Yeah, La Brea put up 54 tonight. Girard put up 61 tonight. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Someone's got
to. I don't think the punters are going to need to come to that game.
Might give them the week off. That's good. That's
right.
A bonus bye week for them.
Right, exactly. Give them that extra day's rest.
This is a game, if you had the letter in that game, you might not let her.
It's
if
true.
You needed time, you may not let her if you're a punter.
Right.
It's very true.
I hear you. I've been there before.
Oh, gosh.
Who in your guys' mind has the biggest, you know, we've seen some finals come in. The biggest game that they needed to win, and they went out and they're either winning it now, or they're going to win, or they already have won.
Well, I think the one we've referred to would be that third week of the season when Hubbard beat Girard.
Mm-hmm.
And really, they beat him convincingly. It didn't start out that way.
What about tonight? Biggest, the team that needed to win, it went out and is either getting it or got it already. For me, it's Poland.
I think Harding.
Harding goes
6-2.
Come back to me.
With a win.
I think Poland.
Poland is one of them.
Kind of the way we talked about with the way they lost last
Boardman,
couple weeks ago.
Boardman in that category.
Hubbard winning convincingly over Struthers is important. But I think
conversely, a team that had to win that didn't, Struthers.
Would be Struthers. And it's not just the fact that they lost. It's
how they lost.
Getting shut out like
that's
that.
That's exactly right.
That's going to be a tough one to swallow this week. I'd be curious to see how they respond going into next week. Who do they even have next week? I got to find it on the schedule.
What team?
Struthers. Oh, Edgewood.
That's a win.
It is a win, but that's a response win they gotta have
right
after this week. Warren Harding, absolutely. I think they need it, especially against Cardinal Mooney. That's a team you gotta go out and win at home.
And the ability to protect, especially ability to protect home turf,
mm-hmm.
It means even more. I'm going to have to go with Boardman. I think Boardman pulls this out, coming after
coming off that really tough loss, to speak of which, Warren Harding, to give it up at home. It was just, it came down to a field goal, unable to get it done there, but to come back the next week, dust that off, and get this big win against Ursuline. Yes, yep. Ursuline is not the team that they once were, and hasn't been for the last however many years, but a win's a win, and at home it means much more, so I would have to say Boardman.
Well, I got to tell you, I talked to my good friend Michael Allegretto during the week, and he's a Cardinal Mooney guy through and through, and played football for the Cardinals, and you know, he's one of those guys that he understands the game and lives and dies with Cardinal Mooney, and he said this is going to be a tough one, and we found out, Michael, exactly how tough it is. And
right.
You know, right now, Mooney's going this way, Harding's going this way. You know, Harding's sitting pretty right now, 6-2.
Yeah.
Two losses against two very good ball clubs.
Yeah, they're good.
Those two teams are going to fight for a state championship in Washington, Maslin, Washington, and also McKinley.
They have two respectable losses.
Yes, they do.
Two very strong schools in Stark County and Canton McKinley and Maslin, Washington.
Good football in that area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just looking through here, we'll update some more of these fourth quarter scores for you. West Holmes 23, West Branch 6. Grand Valley 27, Windham 14, Southern 38, Wellsville 20, Southeast 30, Valley Christian 16, Salem 34, Minerva 7, Newbury 34, Pymatuning Valley 12, Jackson Milton 20, Lowellville nothing, Crestview 20, Kent Roosevelt 22, so Kent Roosevelt has the lead there 22-20, Indian Creek 28, Beaver Local 0. Fourth quarter score update, East 12, Canfield 7.
Whoa.
So the Golden Bears have scored, and they have answered in a huge, huge way.
That's big.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's big.
Huge, huge score there for East. And now
they're living up to the front page of the Blitz.
Exactly. We have that mindset. Where do we go from here? East has the lead. Let's have this scenario. East wins this game, and Canfield loses their undefeated season. What does this do to Canfield? What does this do to East?
Well, by no stretch of the imagination is it the end for either one of them. It's East is just, I think East's stock has just gone through the roof.
Right. Yeah, I would agree.
Especially over the last couple of weeks. That defense has played well.
That's exactly right. It makes that 10-0 win over Poland legitimate. Very legitimate.
Yeah.
Just saw an update from Brian Zenis on Twitter. Canfield's at the East 45 with 40 seconds to go. It's 12-7 East with that time left.
Oh, my goodness. So it is.
Field goal does you no good. You got to put it in the end zone.
It's yeah. True. The good news is, though, they must have gone for two and didn't get it, so it's 12-7. So there's.
From Brian, sorry to interrupt, Marcus Finkley had an 18-yard touchdown reception. 12-7. The PAT, they went for two. The pass went incomplete. So, yes, they did go for two.
Yeah, man, that's tough.
But now we're down to the wire. We're going to be getting. I'll be. Refreshing furiously.
Right.
Right. I wonder how many timeouts they have left.
Got a final score. Hubbard 41, Struthers nothing. So the shutout is complete for the Eagles, and they remain unbeaten at a perfect 8-0.
The fact that Hubbard won is not the shock. The fact that they shut out Struthers is the bigger shock.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
fact that Struthers got shut out
right.
on the other side, like
right.
we talked about, I think that's pretty pivotal. I'm really curious to see how East Palestine responds next week after they're winning against Toronto as far as we're concerned. Parker Sherry, he's been kind of up and down this season, I think.
When you did this show, we talked about Parker and that beautiful class of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, they've missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. This could be the third time.
He's just been a shaky quarterback lately, and... You know, when you have a guy with that kind of promise, you would expect them to make the playoffs every year. But unfortunately, it just hasn't gone that way. Or like you said, over the last couple of years for East Palestine, still no update. I'm like refreshing furiously for Canfield and East.
Two more final scores for you. Boardman defeats Ursuline 38-14. And Southeast defeats Valley Christian 36-16. So Ursuline falls to 1-7. Valley Christian takes another loss. And Boardman protects home turf after losing it last week.
And that puts them at 5-3 now.
Yep.
With two very big games
again.
Left. One of them, the arch rival, Austintown Fitch.
A big win for Boardman, for sure. And again, if you're just joining us, it is 12-7 East over Canfield. East scored, and according to Corey, went for two, did not get it. And now Canfield is looking for a score. And
from Brian Zenis, Delshawn Petrosky picks off Max Dawson. Canfield's done. East wins 12-7.
Wow.
Wow. Big.
12-7. That's from our guy, Brian Zenis, who we'll most likely hear from
that's a pretty
within the next
upset.
Few minutes here, as I'm sure pandemonium's breaking out.
Oh, my. It's just hard to even fathom East taking down an undefeated Canfield.
But look what they've done. Look how they've grown
over
the, it's more so over the last month of five games.
You got the good. They had the Vindy Karma running the front page. Steve Ruman.
They may have to do an update next week.
It's just unbelievable to see. I mean,
well, we talk about teams that are playing well right now, other than Hubbard and LeBray and that group of teams.
East.
Look at East.
Mm-hmm. East.
East and Harding. East and Harding might be the two biggest surprises after the first 3 weeks of the season.
I would agree.
The way East has played in conference has been impressive. They're 4-0 in the conference. Canfield drops to 1-1. In conference games, East has now outscored opponents. I'm looking at it. They're, 82-29? I mean, they're plus 50 in the margin. And I think that East, the way they've shored up over the last couple seasons, I remember a couple years ago, it was, where does East go?
They couldn't finish a game.
Where does East go? They were in a lot of close ones.
They couldn't.
Now they're learning to win those close games, mm-hmm. and it's the difference in this season.
You don't hold Canfield to 7 total points
Mm-mm.
without having something on your side of the defensive side of the football. East has it going right now. Congratulations to the Golden Bears.
How about the Golden Bears?
Big win.
And Canfield's lone conference win was a 35-0 a shutout. So imagine having that point differential. You're plus in the point differential, and you're still only 1-1. I'm surprised Canfield's only played 2 conference games
point. Well, that means the last 2 have to be conference games then.
So we're looking at either Poland, Howland, or Niles. Which means they've played one of the 2. I can do math somewhat. Sometimes.
So that ends.
I did
what
that
is
in
it?
My
now
head.
A 17-game winning,
17-game regular season winning streak
for Canfield.
And just we think about this. I mean, right now, yes, East is a very good team, but we think about this at the beginning of the year. You say East beats Canfield at Rayen, we don't believe it, at the beginning of this season. And now just look at how this East team has progressed.
Just looking at records, you would never have said that
they'd
be on the same field with each other.
You were going to say something, Cor?
So Canfield has Howland next week and then Poland week 10, both games at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure they would beat Howland and Poland the way the Poland just came out today. You got to think they'd be fired up. I think Poland could... They have a good shot against Canfield, so realistically, Canfield could be a 500 team in this division,
mm-hmm.
which is almost out of this world to think about.
Exactly.
At this rate,
yeah.
And the given success we've seen from them over the past decade, I mean, they've been a perennial
mm-hmm.
powerhouse
right.
in this area. But I'm not saying Canfield's fallen off by any means, but the season just feels different for them. It really does. Which, again, I can't wait to hear from Brian to hear about the end of that game, how it transpired, what was going on, the situation, because East went for it, didn't get the 2-point conversion, would have put them up a touchdown. Canfield had their chance at the end, and turnover cost them. So,
in a game like this, when you win, you don't want to leave the football field. When you lose, you want to get out of Dodge real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, East wants to stick around
that's
for
just
a while.
One of those
they
rush
may
the field
walk
moments.
Back to the school.
That's one of those rush the field moments.
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful feeling.
Just an incredible, I would say, upset.
Well, we
here.
Said congrats to East. Let's say congrats to Brian Morrow for the job that he's done.
Yeah,
I would agree. Yeah, just an
he came in, and all of a sudden, they had, 75 or 80 kids that were interested in playing football under Brian Morrow.
Right.
So at some point in time, they're buying into what you're selling. He's classy, too.
You change a culture like that, and a program just flips. And it's amazing how fast it's gone.
And how many people then want to become members of your team.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we talked about Harding defeating Cardinal Mooney. We have more live from Mollenkopf Stadium is Mike McClain. He's going to give us more on Harding's beat of Mooney.
This is Mike McClain reporting for the Vindy Blitz at Mollenkopf Stadium, where tonight the Warren Harding Raiders ended a 3-game losing streak against the Cardinal Mooney Cardinals with a 19-7 win on a wet night here at Mollenkopf. This game was pretty close all the way. It was only one score in the second half. Harding had the 12-7 lead at halftime on a couple of K-Ron Adams runs. Mooney scored on a snake by quarterback John Murphy. And the only score in the second half was a 16-yard pass from Isaiah Taylor to Jakari Salter for Harding, who made an extra point, made it 19-7. The key play in that drive was a fake punt on a fourth down. Kayron Adams, the Harding's great running back, was the up blocker, the personal protector for the punter. He took the direct snap and ran about several yards for the first down, about 12 yards for the first down. They kept the drive alive, and that was it. And then Mooney never really was able to challenge. Mooney was dogged by bad field position. Harding had five of their first six drives started in Mooney territory, I think six of the first nine. So that was kind of the key factor. Adams had I hate to say a quiet 187, but he had a 51-yard touchdown in the first half and then the long run on the fake punt, but he ended up with 187 yards in the ground. And Murphy had a game effort tonight. It finished with 140 yards, threw for 110. He's going to be a sore boy tomorrow. But again, Harding snaps a three-game losing streak to Mooney, 19-7 here at Mollenkopf Stadium.
And that's going to mean a lot more. I mean, thank you again, Mike. Yes, Warren Harding's off to a great start this year. They're playing phenomenal football. But again, it also helps when you have a local rival like Cardinal Mooney, who has had your number the last 3 years, to finally take him down. That must mean a ton more, especially to do it at home in front of your crowd.
How big of a loss is this for Cardinal Mooney?
I think it's a real big one.
I think it's tough, especially when you kind of come in with that confidence that, well, we've had their number the last 3 years. We're kind of on to them. We know what they're up to, but this is a Harding team we haven't seen in previous years.
That moves Cardinal Mooney to 3-5, and it puts Harding up to 5-2.
That's unfamiliar territory for them. That's a very un-Cardinal Mooney-like record. Now, let's go back to that Hubbard game. Champ Summers always trying to look for that little note or two. It's Brian Hoffman's 100th victory.
Wow.
Congratulations to him.
Congrats to him.
Yeah. Someone that deserves it.
Absolutely.
Another final score for you. Western Reserve does not shut out Waterloo. Final score 51-6. And the Blue Devils will gear up and prepare to take on McDonald in what will be a huge matchup for both teams. Because as Champ has said, this game could decide who clinches a playoff. So we'll have to wait and see next week for what happens there. And very excited to see how that game turns out. And that was the only other final score we got. I thought I saw another one, but we did not as of right now. But
well, yeah, we do have, about 10, 12 finals in right now, Dom.
Yeah. So let's take a look at the ones that we have. As of right now, United has defeated Letonia 34-0. LaBrae defeats Brookfield 54-21. Youngstown East holds their ground at Rand Stadium and defeats the undefeated Canfield Cardinals 12-7. The Warren Harding Raiders protect Mollenkopf Stadium and defeat the Cardinal Mooney Cardinals 19-7. First time in the last three meetings that Warren Harding has defeated Cardinal Mooney. Champion defeats Camel Memorial 21-0 in a shutout at Camel. Columbiana shuts out Lisbon 41-0. Southington shuts out Matthews 45-0. Sebring gets a touchdown on the board against the undefeated McDonald. But McDonald gets the win there 55-6. But you got to celebrate Sebring getting in the end zone.
I was just going to say, we're not celebrating the fact McDonald put 55 up. We're celebrating the fact that Sebring scored.
Right, exactly.
God bless them.
Yeah, good for them. And way to even go onto the field with the team that they have. Just a huge credit to them.
Now, that's enthusiasm.
Absolutely. Girard defeats Newton Falls 61-6 in preparation for their big matchup with LaBrae, as Corey said, will probably be game of the week next week. Poland shuts out Lakeview 28-0 in a game they desperately needed to win. Hubbard shuts out Struthers 41-0. Boardman beats Ursuline 38-14. Southeast beats Valley Christian 36-16. Western Reserve beats Waterloo 51-6. And Louisville beats South Range 27-6.
Well, we also have some other scores that have not gone final, Dom. You know, Austintown Fitch is still leading Erie McDowell 26-16. Mm-hmm. And as we flip through there, East Liverpool is still up on Buckeye Local 41-8. A couple other things. Toronto is trailing East Palestine 29-16. Indian Creek still leads Beaver Local 28-0. Kent Roosevelt holding that two-point lead over Crestview 22-20. Louisville still trailing, being shut out by Jackson Milton 20-0. You still have Newberry up over Pie Valley 34-12. Salem's holding on over Minerva 34-7. West Holmes is still up on West Branch 23-6. And Southern Local still leads Wellsville 30-20.
Yeah, so some interesting scores there. I'm interested to see where that Kent Roosevelt Crestview game goes. I mean, that's a big game for Crestview.
Oh, big time. That's a big win. They need this win.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll just have to wait and see if Kent Roosevelt can hold on and get the win, or if the Rebels can pull it away.
Think about Crestview right now. They've had to play catch up the whole game.
Yeah.
That takes a toll on you.
Absolutely.
Final from Pennsylvania, Wilmington 48, Sharpsville 14 for those interested. That was the big game over in Mercer County.
What was the final score?
Tonight, Wilmington 48, Sharpsville 14.
That didn't turn out to be the game that they expected.
Wilmington was a 20-point favorite entering
one. Never mind.
It's usually closer. Usually, remember the Terry Varelli, Paul Piccarelli classics that they would have over there, and obviously Varelli stepping aside, retiring after a fantastic career. There's no other way to put it. Wilmington, that program's still in great hands.
The Greyhounds.
That's right. The Greyhounds and the Sharpsville Blue Devils. They're a solid team this year. They have a prospect going to Virginia to play, and
wow.
There's going to be some good football coming from them for the next couple seasons. They're set with Paul Piccarelli's program, as they pretty much have always been. We're still getting finals in. What's the big takeaway from the night? I think the elephant in the room was Struthers and Hubbard, the margin in that game, but Canfield East, I think, has kind of taken over that. East pulling out the big win at home.
I was just going to tell you that.
And this means now you come into that Canfield-Poland game. Poland comes in with two losses. Canfield comes in with one loss. Now they have both shows ways of how they can be beat. So now both teams have a blueprint.
Well, obviously, must win for either side. But Canfield, if they lose next week, they're in some deep water.
Yeah, they're in deep trouble.
Deep water with the playoff push. But, you know, you got to think about the way they played each this week. Canfield only putting 7 points on the board at East, and Poland shutting out Lakeview 28-0. Poland, you got to think, is going to be riding high off of this game. They're going to come in with energy next week. That's a home game, too, for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's dangerous
yeah.
for Canfield. They're treading on some rough waters right now.
Yeah, Canfield isn't. I mean, this is, again, you look at it beginning of the year as you're getting close to that game, you start, as the season progresses, you have the East game circled as just, yeah, it's a road game, but we should be able to take care of business. But East starts clicking off wins, and you're thinking, okay, well, now we really need to start paying attention to this squad. And you come into this game, it's just, where has this team been? Like, what, we did not see this team coming, and now Canfield's vulnerable. Like you said, Canfield is a vulnerable team. And if you're Poland, after giving up those two losses, you love seeing this against
East,
your rival.
East exposed Poland. East exposed Canfield.
Right.
They've outscored the opponents 22-7 22-7 over the two good teams. Only gave up 7 points in 8 quarters.
A tribute to the defense.
Very much
right.
So.
They just lit it up the last couple of weeks. They've bought into Morris' system, like you said. I mean, everything's going right for this program right now.
I mean, you say tribute to got to pay tribute to the defense. Look how they beat Canfield, an interception to seal the deal. So, I mean, you got to give credit where credit is due. I mean, just till the bitter end, always fighting, always doing everything they can. And at the end, the defense gets them the win with that interception. Because Campbell was driving. They were on their way to trying to get into that end zone and try to seal the deal at the end. So, a big, big-time win for the East Golden Bears. And, again, making their presence felt in the area by far. I'm interested to see how this Fitch game turns out. I know they have a 10-point lead on Erie McDowell, but this is a McDowell team that always gives you fight to the end. I don't think Fitch is done yet with this game, in my opinion.
It's a long way to go. Erie McDowell can score. That's the thing I'm impressed about them is just not the way that they run the ball, but the way that they mix in run and pass.
Right.
They truly use that run to open up the pass, which obviously in football you want to, but I think Erie's the most effective at it.
Mm-hmm.
The way they can throw it downfield, they have weapons that can get open. Austintown Fitch, they've been great all season, but the thing is, their inability to score has hurt them in some games. So
yeah.
It's a close one right now.
It's
a close one right now, but yeah, they haven't much of the season, but they're looking okay tonight, I think, and this will be a pretty big win for a Fitch team that is obviously chasing Warren Harding now that Harding has won.
Yeah, now you're especially after losing to Warren Harding at home. Yeah,
40,
Warren Harding
49
handled
14
them.
Or something.
49-14. Yeah, it was a big win for the Raiders.
On their Hall of Fame night.
Yeah, it's just a tough night for the Fitch Falcons. And now, as we're waiting for some more of these scores to come in, I want to get Corey and Greg's opinion for tomorrow's matchups in college football. What surprises you, or what are you excited to see? You think something might happen that we are not used to seeing, or just what games?
Well, I'll tell you, a team that has to win out there is Washington. If Washington, everybody keeps having, they have Washington knocking on the door of the college football playoffs. They have to win because they have an ugly loss already this year.
Yeah.
And in the Big Ten, I think people are hoping that it's Ohio State in the end, because that's their best bet to get to a Power Five or to the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
If Michigan beats Ohio State, they have to hope for something else. And there's no guarantee. I told you Michigan has got this big stretch coming up. They're either going to be contenders or pretenders. Harbaugh has yet to prove that he can do it at Michigan. He's done it at Stanford. He's done it in the pros. So we'll see what happens. I don't think Ohio State will have any trouble with Minnesota tomorrow.
Minnesota might cover that.
Michigan State's not going to have a, I mean, Penn State's not going to have much of a problem with Minnesota or Michigan State.
They shouldn't.
So you feel it. You figure it.
I think the team that needs a win tomorrow, the must win, is LSU over Georgia.
Yeah.
LSU.
Especially after an ugly win,
loss last week to Florida. They already beat Auburn. They have two wins in the top 10. If LSU is legit, and I love Coach Orgeron, Joe Burrow, obviously, Ohio State
Athens,
transfer.
Ohio.
Athens product, local product, local-ish product, I should say, state product. The whole debunking the theory of Ohio State can't breed quarterbacks, because he's pretty good one right now.
Yeah.
Transfer, albeit. But I think if LSU has any sort of aspirations to not only get into the college football playoff, but to show Alabama that they're serious.
Yeah.
They have to win this game against Georgia. That would send a message. That would make a statement. That would actually change the entire landscape of the college football playoff. And assuming LSU beat Alabama later in the season, I mean, just think of where the Tigers could be. They could be a one seed.
You
want
to talk about a Crimson Tide? If LSU takes down Alabama, changes everything.
That's down the road.
Yeah.
But I think, as far as must wins are concerned, I think that LSU is a must-win. I feel like Michigan is a must-win as well against Wisconsin if they want to keep it interesting with Ohio State, as you said. I also think that Pitt could make it interesting more so than we think against Notre Dame.
So you say that's a trap game.
I don't know if it's a trap game, but Notre Dame has had a rough schedule so far.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about if they're going to... I don't want to say they're going to lose a game twice, but could they lose a game they won last week? Meaning that hangover kind of mentality. Meaning,
right,
not really a trap, but the way that Pitt runs the ball, they've had success with it all season, Quadri Olison and Darren Hall. If they can get to Notre Dame's defense, that's a scary game for the Irish. I think the Irish, all season long, until they lose, are going to be under this microscope where, how do we expose them? How do we get to them? What's Notre Dame's weakness? And people are going to keep questioning different facets of the game, but they just keep winning football games.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Pitt beats them, but I think it's closer than we think. I think LSU is the absolute must-win of the weekend, though.
I would agree with that. I think that's a good point.
To change the subject, but Crestview just took the lead on 28-22,
Kent Roosevelt.
That's a good reason to change the subject. So they got it, went for two. Unless they kick two field goals, but regardless, that's in the fourth, correct?
Yeah, that's in the fourth quarter.
It's late. Waiting for that
to update on my page.
We also have a final. Salem beat Minerva 42-21.
It's about late for us too.
Jackson Milton defeated Lowellville 20-0, a shutout for the Blue Jays, and that's a big win for that Blue Jay squad.
A lot of finals tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was that, 28?
Springfield just defeated Mineral Ridge 57-0, so they only put up 7 points in the whole second half.
It was 20-0, Jackson Milton.
Yes.
There for you, Corey.
Gotcha.
Springfield continuing to ride that momentum of beating Western Reserve at Reserve. A big win for that Tigers team. I mean, how about Springfield this year? Just kind of shooting out of the gun here.
They sure are.
Mineral Ridge has struggled this season defensively.
Yeah.
They've had some problems with keeping the ball, with turnovers on the offense, and their defense hasn't been able to hold many opponents down.
Right.
And then evidence tonight, that's 50-plus again. You know, they got some work to do on that defense.
I would agree. Absolutely. So we are getting ready to call it a night here on the Blitz Live. So we are going to give you the final rundown of these scores. Some of them are still going. Some of them are done. But we'll give you all the final scores for you. So let's take a look here. The United Golden Eagles defeat the Laetona Bears 34-0. Yesterday, the Liberty Leopards shut out the Jefferson Area Falcons 47-0. Also yesterday, the Niles McKinley Red Dragons beat the Howland Tigers 28-6. Our last update from this game was in the third quarter. The Austintown Fitch Falcons lead Erie McDowell 26-16. Final score, the LeBray Vikings 54, the Brookfield Warriors 21. In the second quarter, the East Liverpool Potters 41, Buckeye Local 8. Final score from Rand Stadium, the East Golden Bears upset the Campfield Cardinals 12-7. Final score from Mollenkopf Stadium, the Warren G. Harding Raiders 19, the Cardinal Mooney Cardinals 7. Final score, the champion Golden Flashes 21, the Campbell Memorial Red Devils 0. In the third quarter, the East Palestine Bulldogs 29, the Toronto Red Knights 16. Fourth quarter, the Indian Creek, what was Indian Creek?
Do you know? That's the final now. Indian Creek beat Beaver Local 35-0.
35-0. Indian Creek beats Beaver Local, shuts them out. I apologize there. I knew they had a final there. We didn't have it here on the website. Kent Roosevelt, 22. Crestview, what you said?
It's 28-22 Crestview now.
28-22, yep. And the Crestview Rebels looking to try and get that victory there. Columbiana shuts out the Lisbon Blue Devils 41-0. The Jackson Milton Blue Jays beat the Louisville Rockets 20-0. Southington Chalker beats Matthews 45-0. The McDonald Blue Devils stay undefeated and beat the Sebring McKinley Trojans 55-6. Final score, the Girard Indians 61, the Newton Falls Tigers 6. Battle of the Bulldogs goes to Poland. They beat Lakeview 28-0. From the fourth quarter, Newbury 34, Pimatuning Valley 12. The Salem Quakers, final score 41-7 over Minerva. Springfield shuts out Mineral Ridge 57-0. Final score, the Hubbard Eagles 41, Struthers Wildcats 0. So Hubbard remains undefeated. The Boardman Spartans beat the Ursuline Fighting Irish 38-14. The Southeast Pirates beat the Valley Christian Eagles 36-16. In the fourth quarter, the Southern Indians 38, the Wellsville Tigers 20. Final score, the Western Reserve Blue Devils 51, Waterloo 6. Grand Valley leads Wyndham in the fourth quarter 27-14. Tomorrow, Warren JFK will go to Gilmore Academy. In the fourth quarter, West Holmes 23, West Branch 6. And final score, the Louisville Leopards 27, the South Range Raiders 6.
That West Holmes game went final. It's 30-8. They defeat West Branch. So the passing attack didn't get on track tonight.
Yeah, Corey. That's tough for West Branch.
Not much. That's kind of a shock.
I would agree.
A surprise.
So, Corey, final thoughts from you?
Just kind of what we talked about. Congratulations to East
on
their win against Canfield at home. And congrats to Hubbard, really, for the way that they put down Struthers tonight. That's very impressive. And then Poli getting a big win on the road to Lakeview. Those are the big three that stood out to me. Thanks for welcoming me.
Great to have you back, Corey.
Back into the Blitz Live studios. It was a good time.
Absolutely. Greg, final thoughts?
I see some big scores. I see LeBray putting up 54. I see McDonald putting up 55. 61 by Girard, 57 by Springfield Local. Western Reserve puts up 51, and I'm tired just reading that.
Right, exactly.
You do a great job again. Welcome back, Corey.
Thank you.
Dom, another great job.
I appreciate it. Great job to both of you. Very nice work tonight. So that is going to do it for us here at the Blitz Live, presented by Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. For Champ Summers, Corey Christen, Greg Goulis, I'm Dom Joseph, saying good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Hi, I'm Joe Flynn. For a great deal on tires, just drive in any Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Or you can just call us.
Remember, Flynn's does more than just tires. From brakes and mufflers to scheduled maintenance and general repairs, Flynn's does it all. Go to FlynnsTire.com for money-saving coupons.
For dependable tires and expert service, go to Flynn's Tire and Auto Service. Visit FlynnsTire.com to request an appointment.
And tell them Finney sent you.